Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I can get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Sacramento, California. Hello.
Larry King, I want to commend you on your choice of spinners tonight.
Is this black?
I know it. This quality, though. This money that belongs to the Iraqi people, can they get that back from Saddam? And are we going to get Don and Mike on the Armed Forces radio over in Iraq?
Good question. That's a good question. Nick, I'm sorry, Nick. Christopher, can they get the money some way to send that money back to the people? He probably took it from them.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Buck. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Did you wash your ass today? Did you wash your ass today? Did you wash your ass today?
Locked and not straight.
Motherfucker! You fool, you motherfucker! That is it!
That's it! What the fuck are you talking about that? You're taking me out, man!
Yes! No more! No! Not tonight! This son of a bitch all night! He... Tick! He trapped me!
Are you feeling satisfied now, Teddy? Because I can go on busting you up all night.
Yes! Yes!
Beat me! Straight up! Pay that man his money!
Did you wash your ass today?
Oh, you are one sick slut!
Huh? Train says he's never been fishing before. So can he and I take turns with my fishing pole?
All right. Better still, I'll let him have one of my poles, and then you both have one.
Gee, thanks, Sheriff. You can let me use your pole, Paul? The big one?
Sure. But you all got to get some sleep. I know. Why don't you come in my room?
Okay, Paul.
Oh, no, wait. You go, Trey. You stay in your own bed.
Taking a sleep in your bed, Paul?
Now, don't worry about it. You'll see him first thing in the morning. I'll bring him in as soon as he dozes off. Go to sleep. Come on.
Bye, Hope.
Bye, Hope.
Hi, Paul.
Did you wash your ass today?
You got 4 minutes to get Sabian here, or you'll find out just how serious I really am.
Your mother and I are very proud, sad, and confused.
Yes, for Sabian.
Well, first of all, I want to address something. I hear ESPN is trying to f*** me. And you guys are trying to make a controversy. There's not going to be a controversy. I was joking around with one of my friends, and that's it. If you don't like it, you and your family too. Now let's talk about the game.
Hey, you guys had shirts on when you came in here.
What's something happened to him, man?
Come on, it's Nicole. You just put the shirts back on. See that sign? No shirts, no shoes.
No
die, so. Right. Learn it. Know it. Live it.
What do you think Sabian can do? He can't do anything to stop this.
Did you wash your ass today?
Let's go to Chuck in Gainesville, Virginia. Chuck, what say you?
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Good.
For you. I just have a whole issue with this justice situation where people need to get to the point, get to the fact, and start questioning the right people, which is her. And I think you make a very good and valid point. And what's going on in Bush's mind, I don't think any of us are going to completely know. The two people who really know what's going on with Bush would be Don and Mike. A lot of Bush.
Don and Mike, all right? I'm delirious here. Our affiliate in Washington, D.C., WJFK. How can I forget that? John and Mike are the afternoon guys.
Did you wash your ass today?
Falls Church, Virginia. Hello.
Hi, Larry. There's a couple guys here in Washington, Don and Mike, who play a tape of you getting asked about journalism by somebody, and you think he's talking about medical school. Do you remember that?
No.
Do you ever listen? Have you ever heard Don and Mike?
I never get to hear them. They were on the morning. They were on the afternoon. And I never get to hear them. We took over their show one day. I went, it was like the day before the heart attack, we went and took over their program one morning and totally destroyed them. You could doctor tapes.
Hi.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here? Right now.
Oh, no. They were at the meeting today. We didn't get invited, but they did. Okay, boy.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Bombs, beware!
But you know the one question about those guys?
What's that?
Did they wash their ass today?
I don't know.
Amen, brother.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Schwarzenegger, and all the ships at sea. Hey, stay tuned for a show that contains more bread than a Thanksgiving turkey. Baby, I'ma want them.
Stop
Geronimo and Michael O'Hara.
I'm
a sensitive man, you bastard.
Hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike show, a new episode on this Thursday. July 10th.
Right.
WJFK Washington, Live 105 Baltimore, WYSD Philadelphia, 96 Rock Ocean City, KCJJ Iowa City, WBUF Buffalo, other stations. That's slipped my mind at the moment. 877-365-3636, the toll-free number.
All right.
From Canada. I heard you, Rob. 800-636-1067. And DC 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
And yes, we're going to have this to the open now every day.
Did you wash your ass today?
Well, did you? I don't know.
Hey, what happened?
I don't know.
Did you wash your ass today?
Is anyone listening? Shut up!
Okay.
Someone called for a doctor?
That I like.
Beautiful. Okay.
Did you wash your ass today?
Right. Hi, welcome to the show.
That'll be with us for a long time.
Hope so.
I don't want to put you on the spot, Buzz. Anything you want to tell us?
Not today. I promise you and the listeners.
News?
I promise you and the listeners someday a story that is so unbelievable you won't believe it.
Okay, Buzz has got a personal story, and it's his own fault that I'm bringing it up now.
Yes, it is.
It is one of the most amazing things I've ever heard.
He told us a couple of days ago, and yesterday, right at the end of the show, he held up a little sign.
Yeah.
Right. And you know me, you write it down, I'm going to read it.
Yeah.
And I did. And
you did.
Didn't mean to get you in trouble, Buzz. But
I'll tell you, it's more evidence to me, though, that he is unflappable. He is the unflappable Buzz Burbank.
But do you promise us at some point?
I do. I delivered with my colostomy. I didn't want to talk about it for a while. Once it was over, I told you every detail. I'll do the same with this. Won't be disappointed.
And it's not anything medical.
No, it isn't anything like that. It's just an amazing thing that never happens in real life.
Can I ask you one question? And we won't be giving anything away here.
Sure.
Are you simply waiting till perhaps the situation plays out?
Yeah. That would be
wow,
a fair.
That's okay, fine. Okay. Then that is more than fair, Buzz.
Gotcha, Buzz.
Wow.
And, welcome to the show. I'm Don, and he's Mike.
Good afternoon.
And I'll tell you how our schedule works. I get up in the morning roughly about 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Kind of prep out the show, write some notes. You know, got my computer here with all this stuff, and I chat with Mike on the telephone during the day, and then I get to the station. I'm going somewhere with this. I get to the station about 1:30, 2 o'clock, and Mike normally rolls in around 2:30, quarter till 3. We've got a nice little routine.
Mm-hmm.
However, I just point this out because we both today could have been at a meeting.
We blocked the day off today. I know
you were asked to.
You didn't have anything on your docket, and I didn't have anything. We actually had set this day aside.
Well, here's the deal. You know, they're constantly changing presidents in this company. Like most of us change underpants.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of us change wives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, you know, some of us change socks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
there's always
some new guy at the top.
Right.
Well, this latest new guy at the top was the guy who was going to resolve many of the issues that, we promised you we're not going to discuss anymore about syndication and everything else. Mm-hmm. This guy's name is Joel Hollander. And we were told, now listen to the timeline on this and understand why we're laughing at
it. We're not upset. We're just a little uneasy.
It's just a blanket statement about the way things are. And we've known it, and I don't know why we bothered to get riled up about it. We were told in February that Joel Hollander, who's the president of Westwood One, or some type of president of...
Well, do we know what he's president of?
Like Infinity Broadcasting now. I think he, you know, Mel is still the guy, and there's a guy below Mel, but he's like up there in the top three.
Okay.
So anyway, he allegedly is the man who makes things happen.
This is an important man.
Sure. So, Mike and I heard back in February. Let's count. February, March, April, May, June, July, August, June, July, 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
We were told 7 months ago, Joel Hollander is a real big supporter of this show.
Cool.
And Joel Hollander is going to meet with you guys, and whatever issues you have, Joel's going to hear them, and we're going to come to a meeting of the minds, and you guys are going to walk away and be happier than you've ever been.
Nice.
Well, we waited through February, March, and April, and never heard anything. Then another person who shall go nameless, Alan Linewand, said, now listen, Joel has been very, very busy, and I know it's a ways off, but I want you guys to know that Thursday, July 10th, the great and almighty Oz, Joel Hollander,
and the way it was phrased, this is important, is coming in to town to meet with you guys.
Because...
Wow. That's the way it was said.
Because... We're so stupid to believe
it. Was it not? Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, no, you're right. And there was more. Because he's such a big fan.
Right.
And he really wants the show to grow in these other markets. And he understands your complaints and your criticisms. And he wants to answer any questions. And he's a big fan. And you guys, put it in your day planners.
You get in a room with this guy, and your problems are going to go away.
Cool. So, we're waiting. We're waiting. We're thinking, all right, July 10th. Last night, what time was it? I don't know. 6:30, 7 o'clock, almost the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I get a call during a break. Hey, pal.
Hi.
You know, man with many hats calls up, Alan.
Hi.
Hey, pal. Ah, Joel's schedule is just very tight, and he's a huge fan, but he's just not going to have the time to meet with you. Now, the guy was in town. I even said to Alan, well, you know, he was going to be over at the other radio station.
Right.
I said, well, you know, Mike and I will get in our cars and drive through traffic to...
Yeah, this is an important enough meeting that we've waited long enough for. That
just sit down and break bread.
You know, we weren't doing cartwheels over it, but...
With this fella.
But we thought it was important for the show.
Right. But, no, as it turns out, you know, and why are we surprised that he's just too busy. Just too... darned busy.
Do you think at any time certain other powers that be might have said to Joel they were counting on this?
No, and frankly, here's what I think. I think if he's listening right now,
mm-hmm. he's probably surprised.
Yes.
I agree.
That he probably
first
is driving
hearing.
Down the road thinking,
yeah.
Well, now I would have met with Don and Mike, but nobody told me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I hope this gets back to him.
Wouldn't that be something?
Because you know what? Like anything else, this is the only way. This is the only way that we can express ourselves.
And we're not going to spend a lot of time complaining.
You know, it used to be just your personal life, and now it's every aspect of our lives.
Yeah. It's the only way to get things done.
Yeah.
And it's a pisser. And I was ready. I mean, I got my facts and my figures. You know that there is a survey. Man, I wish I knew the name of this. I'll research it. I've got it in my email during the break. There was a survey done by a company called, I think, the Burris Company.
Okay.
A very famous research company out of Texas. They do major surveys for all kinds of gigantic organizations. And they did a survey of the most well-known radio personalities in America.
Mm.
The top 25 best-known radio personalities in America. And let me see. Did Limbaugh was number one.
Of course.
Howard was number two,
right.
And, you know, then all the rest. And I think Jim Rome was number 18, and we were number 20. Now, The fact that we were number 20 is certainly nothing you want to stand up on a building and wave a flag about.
No, you don't want to have a we're number 20 party.
But listen, but here's the thing, though. Throughout America, they did this survey where they call people. We had 29% of people in America who were aware and listened to our show, according to this study. Now, for these other guys, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, these dopes are on 300, Dr. Laura,
yeah.
They're on 300 or 400 radio stations.
Yes, an enormous number of stations.
In all the major markets.
Okay.
You can't go to a big city and not find a radio station with those shows.
We are on a handful of stations.
Comparatively, yeah.
Yeah, and the big stations that we're on, frankly, most of them, like WYSB, they don't want us. I mean, we're on
ouch.
Maybe five big radio stations, and all of the rest of the stations we're on are medium market, and a large majority of them are small market.
With that said, it's pretty amazing that on as few a number of radio stations that we have that name recognition.
And aside from Howard...
Mm-hmm.
Who is, you know, the gold standard as far as the shock radio, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
There's nobody else on the list that does the type of radio that you and I do. And I was looking for, you know, the names that I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
Bob and Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Where are Bob and Tom? Well, they weren't on the list.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Mark and Brian. Where were they? Not on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Lex and Terry. Where are they? They're not on the list. Bob and Sherry. Where are they? They're not on the list. So I got this thing, and I was going to bring this to Joel Hollander and say, look.
Take a look at this, boss.
This is pretty impressive that, although, you know, certainly being 20th is not the greatest thing, but for Jesus Christ, 29% of the people in America know who we are, according to this study of the, and as it said, radio's heavy hitters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll take being number 20 when you count the fact that we're on, I think, as of this moment, roughly between 39 and 41 radio stations.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm very happy with that. And you were going to show that to the big boss to say,
you know,
maybe he'll hear this.
Well, I was going to say, you know, how come Westwood One isn't like getting out and saying, this is the little engine that could? I mean,
yeah.
Look at all of these guys. Sean Hannity's on like 450 radio stations. Rush Limbaugh's on like 700 radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're on 39 stations, and most of them are small POS stations.
Right.
But still, our listeners are loyal enough that we made this national survey. And we're the only show of our genre, outside of Howard,
right,
that made this list. So I've got this, and I was thinking I'm gonna mention this to Joel Hollander and say, you know, we need is some support from the network to,
mm-hmm.
you know, to straighten out the issues that we have.
Finally, just take a big, deep breath and put this show where it needs to be.
Yeah. But
on 100 radio stations around the country.
At least.
Yeah. I'd settle for 50.
Really?
I'd settle for 50. But, you know, at least half of them would have to be good ones.
Okay.
Because at one time we did have about 50 stations, but we had a bumper one time seriously saying, with at least half of our affiliates currently running the show. Because we really don't know. For instance, hey, Rob, do you have the book? The affiliate book? I'll tell you
the ever-changing affiliate book.
Yeah, I'll tell you one city that I didn't know that we were on. I think maybe I've mentioned it once or twice. And I was doing some research about this. For instance, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Oh, yes.
Are we on there?
KABZ 103.7.
Yeah.
We're on at 10 o'clock at night.
10?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Right. I'll give you another one here that I didn't really seem to get. Hold on. I lost it.
Shouldn't be a book. Should be a magic slate.
Damn, I lost
like
it.
Like food specials.
Yeah.
Today we're having the pecan pie and Tulsa.
Like, for instance, I'll read you our list of affiliates. I'm not proud of this, but I'll read you the list of affiliates.
Well, you know, it's not bad.
Washington, Baltimore, they're major markets. Rochester, not a major market. Lafayette, Louisiana, no. Wichita, no. Hagerstown, Maryland, no. Burlington, Iowa, no. Portland, Maine, no. Reno, Nevada, no. Mobile, Alabama, well, they just canceled us. Bakersfield, California, no. Spokane, Washington, no. Sacramento, yes, a top 25 market. Iowa City, Iowa, no. Worcester, Mass., no. Burlington, Vermont, no. York, Pennsylvania, no. Seattle, Washington, yes. Top 15 market. Edinburgh, Pennsylvania.
Who the hell is that?
Don't know. Richmond, Virginia, no. Anchorage, Alaska, no. Green Bay, Wisconsin, no. Ocean City, Maryland, no. Las Vegas, San Francisco, yes. Madison, Wisconsin, no. Morgantown, West Virginia, no. Little Rock, Arkansas, no. Lake Charles, Louisiana, no. Norfolk, Virginia, not really.
Are we on in Virginia, in Richmond and in Norfolk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Philadelphia, yes, but not for long. Wichita, no. Concord, New Hampshire. You want to know how low that market is rated?
How low?
It's a beautiful city.
Yes, it is.
It's not available. It's not a rated market.
Wow.
Really.
Off the
same with Keene, New Hampshire.
Keene is another... New Hampshire is a beautiful state.
Yeah, it is.
Duluth, Minnesota, market number 202. Pittsburgh, Harrisonburg, Virginia, our lowest rated affiliate as far as market size, except for the ones not rated, market number 263.
But that's the big signal.
And also Salt Lake City, which is market number 30. So you go through that list and you think, with that list of stations, mm-hmm. when you consider that all these other disc jockeys are on 700 stations.
Yep. It's pretty amazing.
In New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Boston, mm-hmm. Houston, Dallas, all these cities. It is a pretty amazing accomplishment
mm-hmm. yep.
that our listeners listen enough in these small podunk cities that mm-hmm. we're in to give us this spot on the list. We're the 20th most recognizable names in radio in America.
You guys are like HBO. HBO's only on in about a third of the homes in America, and yet sometimes they even beat the big commercial networks that are on everywhere.
And the programming is so much better.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring that to the attention of Joel Hollander today. As, you know, and again, why I have to bring this to his attention...
Well, you have to bring it to his attention because nobody will bring it to his attention except you.
Well, it was printed... In Radio and Records, there was a gigantic article, an entire page that said radio's top hitters.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the list. There we are, number 20.
Right.
I wouldn't have known about it if I didn't subscribe to the magazine myself.
It's just the way it goes.
Yeah. Pretty funny. It's Concord, not Concord, or whatever I say.
You said Concord, I thought.
Oh, some guy's Concord. Already correcting me. Hello, Chris?
Hey, yeah.
What is it?
Well, guys, first of all, you guys, radio guys, I've been listening for so long, and it's funny to hear my home state on the line, but it's Concord, not Concord.
Concord. All right, Concord.
Thank you.
Concord, New Hampshire.
Well, and by the way, Mike, I think you're right. The Red Sox are only a few games out, and they're coming back this year.
I have, this is probably the first time in 5 years that at this stage of the season... I have felt optimistic.
Sucker.
I watched them last night, and they are the good
sucker.
There you go. That's why I'm wearing my little T-shirt today.
July 10th. Keep Robbie, mark that on the tape. Hello.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
Since it rarely comes up, and we have a New Englander on the line here.
Oh, he's gone now.
The one thing I was going to say, I will feel more optimistic if they make some sort of deal for either a relief pitcher or a frontline starter. They have to do that. To even have a chance, as optimistic as I am. But their offense this year is just, you know, killer. They look great this year.
You're wearing your shirt.
They're not making the playoffs, though. Hello, Don and Mike. That's our annual bet.
And in the event that they don't, yep. I have to take Tom Gavin to a
titty bar,
and you have to do the same if they make it. And that, all they have to do is make it to the postseason, a wild card berth.
That's
all
they need.
Good enough.
Yeah, but look at Oakland. Oakland's very close.
Oh, and it's very similar to last year as far as teams like Oakland that that could bump them off for the wild card.
Hey, hello, Don and Mike.
Hello, radio guys.
Howdy.
How is Michael Savage number 5 on that list, and you guys are number 20?
Well, I'll tell you why, and I've really never heard of the guy. I'm glad you brought that up.
Who's number 5?
Michael Savage. Did you know he's on 320 radio stations?
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That's how you get name recognition.
Yep.
I mean, I've never heard of him, so I guess I don't count. But, yeah, about Michael Savage.
Mm-hmm.
This is good.
This is great.
I love it.
We've been covering this the last couple of days. This comes from Radio and Records, Street Talk, the radio industry Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Headline, Don and Mike vindicated in Savage attack.
Wow.
There you go.
It's about time.
Despite what Michael Savage thought, it now turns out that the caller who precipitated Savage's now infamous get AIDS and die rant that got him fired from MSNBC was not set up by Don and Mike. In fact, professional prank caller Bob Foster now feels kind of bad that Savage got blown out. My intention was not to get him fired, Foster told the San Francisco Chronicle. My intention was to drop the Don and Mike name. So,
East Coast Bob.
I get this, and then I get a copy of today's San Francisco Chronicle, which has an entire giant article about this. Listen, he says, this guy, Michael Wiener, is so bad at spinning out of this thing that he says.
Is he still at it?
Well, here's his first quote. I'm sitting in front of the camera. I have no control over that, Savage said. In radio, I have total control. He got really vile with me. I meant to insult him personally, not all people with AIDS. Now, the San Francisco,
what a quote that is.
The San Francisco Chronicle has the exact quote that Michael Wiener, Michael Savage, said was so vile.
Right. Good.
So here you go. Here's the part of the story that's interesting.
This is a vile, vicious personal attack.
Yes. From San Francisco Chronicle, major newspaper today. Mm-hmm. Savage's firing was precipitated by an active prankster calling a show. Bob Foster, 39, a Sacramento computer technician, says he's been on CNN 25 times, including three times on Larry King, and once convinced the Fox News host he was witnessing an earthquake when he was making the whole thing up. Foster usually gives a plug for his favorite radio show, The Don and Mike Show. Foster called Savage's show Saturday night when Savage was doing what he described as shtick about airline horror stories. Foster started a yarn about someone smoking in a plane's bathroom and then in a non sequitur said, and this is the quote. Now remember, this guy, Michael Wiener, Michael Savage, said
this is what precipitated the rant.
This is, we've been wondering what the quote was. Here's the vile quote. Quote. Don and Mike should take over your show so you can go to a dentist appointment because your teeth are really bad. That's it. That's
vile.
It.
Vicious.
Most of that comment was bleeped off the airwaves.
Yeah, because it's so vile and vicious.
But what Savage said was not. His rant will live in infamy. So, now using the quotes here,
right.
I'll relive this. You're on the air. Don and Mike should take over your show so you can go to a dentist appointment because your teeth are really bad. Are you a sodomite? Foster says yes.
That was the best part, too, when Foster said yes.
Oh, you're one of the sodomites. You should only get AIDS and die, you pig. How's that? Why don't you see if you can sue me, you pig? You got nothing better than to put me down, you piece of garbage? You got nothing to do today? Go eat a sausage and choke on it. Okay, got another nice caller here who's busy because he didn't have a nice time in the bathhouse and is angry at me today.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Let me see.
I think maybe some issues there.
Homophobe.
Big time.
Mm-hmm. Foster, the prankster, says he's getting a lot of hate mail from the Savage Nation. My intention was not for him to get fired. My intention was to drop the Don Mike name.
I believe that.
In fact, he is a fan of Savage's show, and he picked him for one simple reason. I look for a reaction.
Wow, well, you got one.
Oh, you got it.
Well, you know, and that guy is a professional follower of broadcasts. He's,
he likes all radio shows.
He goes and TV shows, Buzz.
Right, yeah, true.
But there's the headline, Don and Mike vindicated in Savage Attack.
Mm-hmm.
So, Michael Wiener, you should shut your mouth about how you're going to sue us.
Please.
For having caused this. And incidentally, if someone calls... Because he often says you should go to a dentist appointment because your teeth are bad. You know, take it from someone who tosses out insults on a regular basis. Don't go right to AIDS.
No.
Yeah, not
you
really
know,
necessary.
Someone says you have bad teeth.
Right.
You know, don't go right to the AIDS button.
Sure. You know, and better yet, just, you know, let it roll off. God.
Yeah.
Let it
like
go.
We do.
Well, we argue.
We argue. We have fun, though. I mean, we don't lose it. You don't lose it like this guy.
We argue, and I've wished death on people.
Yeah.
You have. I've prayed for death, but the point is, I'm doing it in a, you know, you can take it any way you like, in a sophomoric comedic fashion.
Well, really, and
if somebody called me and said you have bad teeth, my first reaction would not be to say, I wish you were dead.
Are you a sodomite? I mean, my God.
Where does that come from?
And now this begs the question, although I'm really tired of talking about Michael Wiener, I got to see what his teeth look like now.
Yeah, I mean, well, he's not on TV anymore, though.
Well, we got to find a picture. Every picture I've tried to find is a guy that his mouth is closed.
Well, if you have bad teeth, that's what you do.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, my brothers.
Hey.
What's going on? Calling from Philly.
Right, the Legacy. Hi there.
Oh, man. I used to listen to you guys 14 years ago in D.C. I've been up here in Philly for about 4 years. And when I picked you up on YSP, I thought, oh, man, this is great. So I tune you in. And it's been pretty good. You know, I mean, I love it. I love hearing you. I don't know if enough of Philly knows about you.
Well, you know, it's a tough situation. And the answer to that is I really don't think a lot of Philly does. And there are a variety of reasons for that.
Yeah, I think if you're listening to us in Philadelphia right now, enjoy it. You got about 3 more months.
Yeah, I mean, we're realists about that, and that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask how long, but, you know, it's an odd city, man. I tell you, like, you've had some funny callers come in from Philly before.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember that one drunk who's always talking about Philly sports. And, you know,
Brian, the drunk Eagles guy. Yeah, we got a lot of good callers from Philly. It's just we don't have spectacular, over-the-top number one ratings in Philly, and
I think really, if we're going to be honest about it, it's about being on a radio station that is kind of geared to this type of format.
Hello, Don and Mike show. I mean, we goofed on Metallica,
right? Yeah,
and that probably did us in right there.
What were you thinking?
Right, I don't know.
Fine, Sabian.
I mean, Metallica. Come on.
Hey, speaking of that, you know what movie I watched this morning?
I can deal with Rocktober, but I've never heard of Metallica before.
I'm sure you've seen it.
What's that?
But Rockstar. It's on.
Oh, with Mark Wahlberg? Saw it when it came out.
Well, not with, you know, with your lady in there.
Oh, Jennifer Aniston, right.
Yeah. Looking very fetching in a lot.
She's the hottest.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello?
Radio Gods.
Howdy.
Hey, Buzz.
Hey.
I can't believe it's getting kicked off in Philly. What about coming up to Allentown?
Coming up to Allentown? Well, if there's a radio station in Allentown, yeah.
Well, you know, we're going to get up there as soon as they finish tearing all the factories down.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
What was that, Rob?
They've taken all the coal from the ground.
I hated that, incidentally. That was after that model broke up with him.
And we're living here in Allentown.
Billy Joel's whole music just went downhill. I mean, he did that one album where he was like led around by his nuts. The album that had like Uptown Girl. And that other one, Tell Her About It.
Right.
Tell her everything you feel. Yeah. And then she dumps him, and like his next album is, well, we're laying off in Allentown.
No, actually, Allentown preceded the Uptown Girl phase.
It did?
He was cranky for that. That was his doo-wop album. Then came the Downeaster Alexa. He did an album where it was like talking about storms and dead fishermen. So he was sad following Christy Brinkley.
Yes, that's
all right.
Great.
Thank you for the history, Rob.
That's all right.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods. Chris,
hey.
Chris from Legacy.
Right. Hi there.
Hey, Buzz. How are you?
Hey.
What can we do? I mean, this
listen,
is...
I don't think there's anything that anybody...
I think the people that listen to this show in Philadelphia are fantastic, and that we do have very, very loyal supporters in Philadelphia, but really, we've been in a few no-winners.
Just get me, Sabian!
We had it laid out for us, and I'm not going to bust on Tim, because I've had a good conversation with Tim Sabian, our program director, since we had our fight up there.
Good.
I think even if we, over the summer, went all the way to number one in the ratings,
mm-hmm.
he'd still cancel us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the contract's going to be up, and he wants to play his box of records.
Right.
What, they don't like talk anymore, or what?
Listen, we get into a whole big inside radio thing that I don't feel comfortable talking about, because I do like Tim, but I think Tim would like it a little more if Mike and I pretended to be about 21 years old, and if we got on the air and went, You rock! And when people called in, we would say stuff like, oh man, I want to do a bong hit with you so bad. I want to get so wasted because we're party animals. We're crazy.
But people in Philly would never listen to that.
That's, well,
yeah, you know, we are what we are, and you can't change that. I think we are doing what we've done for a long time, and a lot of people dig it. And a lot of people dig it that are 20 and 18, and a lot of people dig it that are 60.
And, you know, and the thing that I don't get about Tim, and I mean this with reverence, he's older than we are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would think he would get what we're trying to do, but he's very much trying to tune into, you know, what the skateboarders are doing.
Right.
And
it's kind of unfortunate because really, you know, what's funny is funny.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Is there any way you guys would come back up here before you think the 3 months are over?
No, I don't think they're going to have us back. Frankly, they don't want to... when we came up there to paint our faces like clowns,
right.
They don't want to pay for our train tickets.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
you got stunk with that.
It's like $100, $150
yeah,
bucks for each of us.
They put crap on the walls up there. It's not a it's not a warm, fuzzy environment for us up there.
No,
it really isn't.
We generally like all of the people at WYSP in Philly, and it's a great station. Mm-hmm. And I wish that they would have the foresight to keep us on. But I think that Tim...
Sabian's not here in 20 minutes.
Sabian. Right,
you die.
Tim Sabian, frankly, just wants us gone.
I don't want to talk to anyone else.
Some really, really, really good people up there, and it's unfortunate that...
But the thing is, we're not going to quit, and they're stuck with us until September,
mm-hmm.
so just deal with it.
Okay.
I mean, we kind of have come to the realization that mm-hmm. it's going to go away in September, but why should we do them the favor?
Yeah, we've learned one thing. I think I've learned one thing with this. In the event that you're on a radio station that doesn't support you, you know, and when I say support, it means in a variety of ways. If you're on a station where the focus is something else, a message, the theme of the radio station that you want to get out is something besides shows like this, or you're on a radio station where, you know, you got other people that are going to tear you down on that radio station, it's not a very likely situation that you're going to succeed.
It's not a real good fit for us. I think if they gave us some time, it would be a fit. But what it would mean really is that they'd have to trade in some of their younger listeners for some older listeners, because frankly, Mike and I are not going to do that whole, we are crazy, we are bombed, we're trashed, we want you to come down and party with us because Ozfest is coming, and whoa, we are crazy, man, God friggin' damn it, we're crazy, we're nuts, whoa, crazy, crazy, you're going to call us up. And you never know what we're going to say because we are so freaking nuts. Yeah.
Now, come on. You're going to give yourself a heart attack.
Come on.
Wow. It's like that.
I mean, I think if we did that, we'd be safe.
This is Sabian here.
I think that's what he wants.
You know, and really, I know there are a lot of 21, 22, 23-year-old people listening right now, and I hang out with a lot of people that age now. I really do. And it's really overdone. It's really bull ass when you really get down to it. This show is so geared towards a wide age group. It's amazing. You know, and that whole image that with jargon and things that people have to say, it's just not, it's BS.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's a game.
Yeah.
It's an act.
I mean, you know what's universal? Fart jokes.
Mm-hmm. And you know, to his credit, Tim has said to me, the program director, well, we promote you,
mm-hmm.
and here's how they promote us.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard it. They'll be playing a record, and that's Ozzy. WYSP, the rock station. Howard Stern all morning, Don and Mike all afternoon. We'll be right back with the Foo Fighters, and then we'll have some Metallica, and then some Ozzy, and some Van Halen. That's it.
Yeah.
It's like we're thrown in. So technically we're being promoted.
Mm-hmm. Rock is being promoted. I mean,
right.
that's what's being promoted.
Right.
And you know, hey, it's his radio station. That's mm-hmm. that's the way it goes. But, you know, we've had some good times up there in Philadelphia. And,
yeah.
and you know,
I do have a suggestion. And I'm going to get off this topic. As long as we're on the topic of WYSP, I know they build themselves as Philly's rock station. And Tim does like rocking.
Mm-hmm.
He's a rocker.
Mm-hmm.
But, Tim, I have a new slogan I wish you'd think about, even if we're gone. Because I love it. I'm thinking about using it for our show.
Did you wash your ass today?
WYSP, Philadelphia says.
Did you wash your ass today?
There you go.
Hello there, Don and Mike.
Wash your ass. WYSP.
Hello.
Hey, it almost works.
Uh-huh. Hello.
Wash your...
Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hey, it's Tom Phillips.
Hey.
I just wanted to say, you guys, every time you say about, you know, your 20th position and that name recognition, don't downplay it at all. That's great that you're the 20th most recognized person in your industry or people in your industry. That's an accredited by in and of itself.
Well, you would think that someone in our company would notice it.
Mm-hmm. We point that out really because we think that's the kind of statistic that could be used
mm-hmm.
to. But it won't be, because
no,
it never has been.
If only...
What do they do at the network?
They don't do anything.
What do they do? Who does what? Yes, they twiddle their thumbs. Yes, they do that too.
Did you wash your ass today?
And I doubt it.
And I have another question for you.
Yeah.
How how big of a guy is Sabian? Because I'll kick his ass if I could.
No, please, now, please, listen. Don't
now, you've made your peace with your friend, Tim Sabian.
Look, I don't want to rag on Tim. I'm just telling you the way things are. And I had a conversation with him, and I think he still, to this day, would like us just to pull the plug and save him the trouble.
I didn't get a chance to have a conversation with him because, basically, who do I think I am?
He's okay. He's all right. He just never really... So, and incidentally, Rob has the stats. Tim is 6'9 and weighs 465 pounds. So,
a lot of that
is just his beard.
Right.
A lot is just
very heavy, very coarse.
Just the beard stubble
grows.
Anyway, so that's the status. You know, none of this would have come up today if this guy Joel Hollander would have just had his meeting with us.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I think perhaps we weren't represented to him. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's cruising around and said, yeah, I don't have time on the schedule here, but I'd like to know if we were ever on any schedule. And I don't think we were.
Think about all the things we've been told about.
You know,
this
did you
guy.
Make an appointment with him? Nope. Did no. I make an appointment with him? No. Nope.
Think about what we were told. He's a big fan. He's a big supporter. Mm-hmm. He really loves the show. He wants the show to be on in more major markets. All of your questions are going to be answered.
I just had an evil thought.
What's that?
There wouldn't be a chance that people wouldn't want us to talk to him.
No.
Would there?
No.
That wouldn't be. I don't. That's like a conspiracy theory.
Crazy talk.
I do have a question. Does he exist? Is he real? Is he a fictional character?
Is he like the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus?
Santa Claus.
They scream.
Santa Claus.
Thanksgiving.
Come on. Starberries.
Did you wash the ass today?
Thanksgiving.
Hello, this is Alan Linewand, Infinity Broadcasting.
Useless piece of garbage. Okay, so that's it. That's where we are. That's where we're at.
But it's peaceful.
Congratulations. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the 20th most recognizable radio show in America.
Yeah.
And that's due to all of you listening to this station.
Is anyone listening?
Some people are. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, we will have a hell of a crowd next Saturday night.
You are a great crowd.
When Rob Spiewak and I go to Sacramento, California, Saturday, July 19th, we will be at Club Aqua.
Yeah.
In Citrus Heights.
All right.
Go to KHTK.com for more details. And Mike, I know you want me to announce this, and I will.
Please do.
Rob and I will be arriving in Sacramento at the airport on Saturday, July 19th, Northwest, flight 395. It arrives at 11:07 a.m.
Very good.
In Terminal B.
Terminal B. You guys will have a wonderful time.
We will. We'll be drunk the whole time. see, now I just said what Tim loves.
Rob and I will be crazy drunk. Come out and see us. We may pull out our penises. We may write our names in the snow. It will be crazy. We are animals. Listen to me. I'm a rebel.
Jesus. Please. You want to know the truth? I listen to Kiss, but I also listen to Bread. You know why? I'm almost 45 freaking years old. I don't got it in me anymore to pretend. Just don't.
Right.
This is the show we do. We deliver pretty decent ratings.
There's nothing lower than lying about who you are, too.
Yeah.
We ain't going to do that. Anyway. That's all there is to it.
Hi, everybody. Well, that was it.
I believe you went aerobic during this segment.
Yeah, think so.
Very good.
Yeah. Feeling good now. Got a break. A big show today. Man, we got guests coming in. We got a Satan bit today. We got a lot. Stay there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Suddenly, you get married and you're supposed to be this entirely different guy. I don't feel different. I mean, take yesterday, for example. We were out at the Olive Garden for dinner, which was lovely. And I had to look over at a certain point during the meal and see a waitress taking an order. And I found myself wondering what color her underpants might be. Her panties. Odds are they're probably basic white cotton underpants. But I started thinking, well, maybe they're silk panties. Maybe it's a thong. Maybe it's something really cool that I don't even know about, you know. And I started feeling, I guess what I'm trying to say is that now that I'm married, I'm definitely feeling a little freaked out about the fact that I'm going to have sex with only one person for the rest of my life.
The Don and Mike Show.
It was Charles Broyhill.
They talk too much. Don and Mike.
Bet your ass we do.
Let's see.
Oh, you know, that's going to be one of the last few times you hear that bumper. We've got Robbie and I got to get with 80.
Wow.
80 brand new, actually 79 new ones, because the 80th one is always just goddamn.
Of course.
The Don and Mike Show with Dude Walker. That's not in this break, though. In this break, this one. Times that we've had him on. Hooray for Hollywood. His name is Jim McBride. Those of us in the know know that's his name. You lay people, you commoners, you know him as Mr. Skin.
Mr. Skin, the most famous man on the web.
I'm telling you, he's got the best website in the world. I am not kidding. www.mrskin.com. And I know there's not a lot of stuff in the movies right now. There's not a lot of R-rated stuff, but during this time in the year when there's not a lot of great stuff in the theaters, Jim pulls some good stuff that's out on DVD.
He always has something for us, and he never disappoints.
I think he's got something from like the Jay Leno show or the Letterman show, too, that
really
I think you're going to like a lot. Well, here he is, the inventor of MrSkin.com. Here's Jim. Hey, Mr. Skin.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. We sure did miss having you around.
yeah, I got a lot of nudity buildup.
There you go. Absolutely. Now, I went when we were gone for a couple of weeks, I went to see Charlie's Angels,
mm-hmm.
which, of course, had, like, no skin. I mean, mm-hmm. great shots of Demi Moore and Cameron Diaz in their bikinis.
Yeah, but I think Jim has talked about this, that we are in a period of time now in Hollywood where, you know, it's comic book movies. That's right. That's what we're coming out with.
PG-13 time of the year.
Right. And let me ask you, I heard I've not seen a T3, but I understand at the end of T3, the female robot does get naked.
Yeah, Christina Loken, and people might know her from the television show Unhappily Ever After. She didn't get as much publicity as Nikki Cox did from that show, but she was on the same show, and she is naked. You see her tushinator during a scene. It's pretty nice.
All right.
Which is cool. It seems like everything's PG-13. At least that had a little bit of nudity.
She's a hottie.
So yeah. Now the Pirates of the Caribbean, that's a Disney movie. There's no way that'll have anything.
Yeah, well, you know what? It opens tomorrow. It's a PG-13 movie starring Johnny Depp and Jeffrey Rush. You're right. It is a Disney movie. There's no skin, of course, but the thing that's cool about it, it's going to get U.S. audiences familiar with a babe that I've been tracking for a while. I'm a big fan of. She's a 20-year-old Brit named Keira Knightley.
She is so hot.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievably hot.
Yeah, and I, like I said, being from England, I don't think a lot of guys here know about her, but this movie will hopefully put her on the map a little, and she plays Elizabeth in the movie, but what's neat is, being that she's from England, she's only 20 and she already has one good nude scene under her belt, because they're not afraid to get naked over there. And
she is really, I looked at her face the other day in some magazine, and she is almost a combination of the best parts of Winona Ryder and Charlize Theron. So that's what she looks like.
And actually, she's done a little slimming down, too, when mm-hmm. she got naked in the movie The Hole, which was 2 years ago, 53 minutes in.
The Hole?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you see the breasts in The Hole, but it's a real nice topless shot. But she's, it looks like for this movie, I might have sent you guys a paparazzi pic of her where she is in a half shirt in low-cut jeans, and she has not an ounce of fat on her.
Ah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, there you go, Mike. Here she is. Here she is in the paparazzi picture.
Oh, God, she is so hot.
Here she is in the... Now, Keira Knightley, if you type that name in on MrSkin.com, what is the movie here where she's by the window topless?
The Hole.
The Hole.
Mm-hmm.
Keira Knightley.
The Hole.
Mike, you're right about her face. She is.
Yep.
She got a prettier face than Winona Ryder does.
Yeah, she does. She's very, very hot.
Mm.
Yeah.
Boy, those are not hip-hugger jeans. Those are like... Cooter hugger jeans.
You have to be shaved to wear those jeans.
You do.
Yeah, you
absolutely.
I gotta think there's some lip service happening right underneath that.
You're killing me.
Yeah, but that's what's neat. So hopefully guys will start getting to know this babe. She's definitely hot. So that's the movie in theaters tomorrow. Now, while you guys were gone, I wanted to mention that Legally Blonde 2 also came out. And, you know, Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blonde, and it's Reese Witherspoon again as Elle Woods. Now, again, another PG-13 movie, no nudity, but for your fans out there, if you want to see Reese's pieces, you definitely check out the movie Twilight, a 1998 movie. 2 minutes in, this is great when it happens in the first couple of minutes. 2 minutes in, she's having sex with her boyfriend. Then she walks around the motel room naked. You get a real nice topless shot.
Boy, look at this.
She's done a good nude scene.
Hey, hello, Reese.
You know, and you would think that she's got this squeaky clean image. This is why, I mean this, this is why MrSkin.com is such a great site, that you would think Reese Witherspoon, not a chance that you could see what she looks like naked.
Yeah.
You know, you go there, you type her name in.
I'm sorry, I think she's weird looking. I always have.
Not her breasts, though.
Not her breasts, though, not in this picture.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the thing. This was 1998. She was 19 years old. This was before she, you know, hit it big with the Legally Blonde.
And, you know, I think she looks better here.
Yeah, I agree.
She's lost some weight to do these Legally Blonde and Sweet Home Alabama movies. And
yeah, and I like the longer hair she had in Twilight, too.
I tell you what, though, Mike, look at that top picture.
Yeah.
She's got some nipple action.
She does, indeed.
She really does. She looks like a bad girl. Yes, yes. Hey, Reese.
Did you wash your ass today?
All right. So what else you got, Jimmy?
Well, also, DVDs I wanted to mention. Gangs of New York came out, new release section of your favorite video store. It's the Martin Scorsese movie starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Daniel Day-Lewis. Now, there's a lot of anonymous 1860 prostitute boobage in this movie, but we can't identify. There's no celebs. But I did find a cool Cameron Diaz, nice whole breast pop out of her green dress in the movie. We put the pics up at the site. I sent them to you, I think. And Cameron Diaz hasn't done much nudity-wise, and it's kind of cool to see this. It's a clear whole, you know, there's nips, lips, and there's whole breast
now
pop out.
Now, this is where I was telling Mike, this looks to me like, is she on Jay Leno, or is this...
Oh, yeah, well, yeah, that's the other thing, and I wanted to mention that what happened was she went on The Tonight Show.
There you go.
While you guys were gone, she went on The Tonight Show and wore the most revealing dress I've ever seen in the history of talk shows.
Yeah.
And,
Charlie Rock. Nathan. I mean, you really see her whole breast, her whole nipple, everything.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And then you get high-definition TV on top of it, so we really got some pretty clear pictures.
Man, she rocks for doing that, too.
Yeah. Oh,
good
it was unbelievable.
Her.
And, of course, Jay didn't barely even, you know, he acted like nothing's going on.
Yeah, because he's an idiot.
Letterman.
My phone was ringing off the hook while this was going. Everyone wanted to make sure I wasn't missing this. I said, I'm taping it, don't worry.
Wow. You got to know that Letterman would have been all over that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Letterman, unlike the asexual Jay Leno, Letterman would have definitely had more fun.
But in one of these pictures where she's sitting at her side, her left side,
I think you see nipple.
Yep. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, definitely.
And it looks like she's holding the left side of her dress open. She's actually giving her left boob some air.
Yes.
Mike, that's in the second one on this one?
Yeah. You have to do that. She's doing a little fanning.
Yeah, now that's sitting on the chair at Jay Leno. That was amazing.
That is fantastic.
And then the last two, where she's leaning over laughing, you see some areola.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last one, I mean, she might as well have just have taken her top off.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's a good pull.
That is really, you know, it's every week you give us something new.
That's a good pull. Cameron Diaz.
Yeah, well, that's good. And then the last thing I wanted to mention, we haven't really talked about this, but there's a Showtime has a new show called Out of Order. Now, it only lasted 4 episodes. I don't think they thought, you know, anyone was going to watch.
Buzz, you love that show. Great show.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. What's great about this thing, it stars Eric Stoltz, and, it is a good show, but the key, the celebrity nudity in just 4 episodes, they already had their season finale, I guess. Now, I don't know when they're going to start it up again, but in these first 4 episodes, you got, in the finale, you got Felicity Huffman naked. Now, if you guys remember the television show Sports Night, she played Dana on the show Sports Night.
I want to tell you something, Jim. She has I mean, you can say a girl has eraser-sized nipples.
Oh, yes.
But I'm telling you that this girl, Mike, take a look at the second picture of Felicity Huffman. Look at those nipples. Now, she doesn't have the biggest breasts in the world.
No.
But wowsy woozy. Those things, those babies will put your eye out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, they're like big, they're like gumdrops.
Yeah.
They're like big jujubes.
Wow.
Wow, Felicity Huffman.
God, you got to love cable.
Yeah, she's on my all-nipple team. We immediately we saw those pics, had to put her in the top 10 all-nip. Not quite Farrah Fawcett, but right there, maybe second all-time.
Wow, is she got some... That's, okay, this is what I'm saying.
That's big. Yeah. So the show Out of Order not only gets Felicity Huffman naked that a lot of guys wanted to finally see nude, but...
Okay,
this
here
is a big but.
Here we go.
This is awesome. Now,
you ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
The big news from this show, and I've been waiting for this since the mid-'80s.
Wow.
I have been anxiously awaiting nudity from her, but Justine Bateman, who played Michael J. Fox's sister...
Family Ties.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, showed her not-so-tiny yothers for the first time.
Oh, my God.
This is debut nudity. She's, you know...
Yes.
She finally showed him, and she looks outstanding.
Plays a very bad girl in there.
Yeah, Mallory's Mammaries, finally.
She's in a sauna or something like that.
Oh,
wow.
You bad girl.
Yeah, I nearly fell off my chair. I couldn't, you know, because the first episode, it was like the Kim Dickens got naked, and it was really graphic stuff, and I'm thinking, geez, and Justine Bateman's playing like a dirty babe. I'm thinking,
man, Eric Stoltz, we had him on the show a couple of years ago, and man, he's got the cherry gig here, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yep, sure does.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty great. Pretty great stuff this week, Jimmy. I mean, you got Cameron Diaz falling out of her dress on Jay Leno. You've got
outstanding
you got
this week.
The British girl, but
Keira Knightley.
My highlight: the nipples of Felicity Huffman.
you have to go with that. And I'm going to go. My highlight really is still Cameron Diaz on Leno. That is just amazing.
That's pretty cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, you're the greatest.
All right, guys.
Listen, the site is www.MrSkin.com. I can't recommend this enough. Robbie, you got his music ready here?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, would you load that up, please? I want to play. There you go. Hooray for Hollywood stuff for Jimmy. It is the greatest website ever, really.
Yep.
You go there and you type any broad's name and any celebrity's name, and if she's ever done anything where she's naked, you see her. Jim, thank you very much for the Felicity.
Again, guys.
Thanks for the Felicity Huffman.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since I've worked my man to a picture.
Oh, stop it.
But I guarantee I will.
Wow.
Wow, would I give anything to be that? So this is Eric Stoltz, who's like straddling.
That's Eric Stoltz, and it's also Eric Stoltz with Justine Bateman in the sauna.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, Jimmy. Hey, great report. We'll see you next week.
All right,
bye-bye.
Well, you know, we really do. We can't. I don't think we express it enough much. Well, we probably do. How much we look forward to his segment.
Oh, yeah. We get into it.
So much fun.
Good stuff.
www.MrSkin.com. We don't get a dime for it, and I don't give a rat's ass.
Right.
He's a great guest.
And this is why Cameron Diaz is a great movie star. Because of what she did.
Yeah. I love her. God bless her.
So, let me give a quick update here. We're going to go to a break and come back with our friend Dude Walker. Now, when we break for traffic on our station here in Washington, WJFK, we normally have a girl on, and her name is...
Vera
Abruptly.
Yes.
Get it?
Vera Abruptly?
The
girl before that, I named her Lane Closure.
Uh-huh, right.
And it took people a long time to figure, Lane Closure.
Right.
I get it. So then we got Vera Abruptly. Uh-huh. Well, Vera Abruptly is not in today. She's on vacation.
Wow. 2.5 weeks.
2.5 weeks. So we got some tool doing the traffic, and he wants to use the name Built Tway.
No.
Built Tway. So
Built Tway.
I don't have any problem with that. You know, normally I'd let it go. He wants to be creative. I told Rob, when you call him and tell him we're ready for the traffic, tell him to use the name Joel Hollander.
Yeah, a joke about the head honcho who's in town today. We thought it'd be funny.
And the guy...
Originally, he hemmed and hawed, and I said, "You got to do it. Come on, no one cares. He's not listening. The man is so busy, he couldn't even."
Doesn't
do
matter if he is listening.
Right. Don't worry. You know, we'll take the bullet for you. You're our traffic guy. Do it for us. He said, "Let me see what I can do. Let me do one without it." And I mean, it took like 5 minutes to get to that point. I said, "Okay," and I'll call you back. He wouldn't do it. Called him back per Don's instructions and said, "If you don't use this name, find us someone who will. And if no one will do it, fax us the traffic. We'll do it."
Right.
And the fax machine just rang.
Ah, okay.
So I'll be doing the traffic now.
What name will you use?
Joel Hollander.
See, that's funny.
I mean, what's how big of a pussy do you have to be to work at Metro Network Traffic? I mean, first off, let's face it, it's the lowest rung of broadcasting. If you've been fired and you can't even get a part-time gig like at Wash FM, you do traffic.
It's literally where I started.
And you would think... You would think that we're giving you something
for fun.
Will you be able
something
to...
where you could get out of the mundane day to day, you know, just a little bit. It would be fun.
God, what a pussy.
I'm not 100% sure of this, but I believe Joel used to be their boss.
Okay, used to be.
Right.
Used to be. So what, you're afraid? I'd like to, you know what, give me the name. What's the guy's name who won't say it?
Jim Russ.
Not JJ.
I don't think so.
Great, I'm going to use his name too.
Oh, good.
This is Jim Russ, afraid to say I'm Joel Hollander. Traffic on the Don and Mike Show. Jesus Christ.
Don't forget your spot.
Oh, don't forget the spot.
Don't lose something.
You've
got to get your music.
Too. Yeah. Well, we're going to have to break.
Okay.
So when we come back, we'll have Dude Walker. And I guess
some people on the network won't hear this, but that's okay.
Yeah, sorry. It's just a local thing. But God, what a pussy. Jim Russ, what a pussy you are. No wonder you're sitting in a room somewhere doing traffic. You're not even a real radio guy.
Don't sugarcoat it. Say how you feel.
I'm crazy. I'm about to get drunk right now. How about you, Mike? Woo! Woo! Let's have some Goldschlager, and then...
Yeah, man.
And then we'll listen to some Metallica.
Then we'll do some Jägermeister, man. Yeah.
All right, we'll break, and we'll be right back with Dude.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Accident southbound I-95 before 234 Dumfries. Left shoulder fire and rescue block the left lane. Delays before the truck sails. Disabled Avenue eastbound on the inner loop of the Beltway before Georgia Avenue. It's gone. All the lanes are open. And on the Wilson Bridge, the inner loop is blocked from St. Barnabas Road. That sucks. Your taste of grown-up shouldn't your address do the same. Sign at least at any metropolitan location to get a Tag Heuer watch. The Metropolitan at Alexandria, Arlington, Pentagon City. Jim Russ is a gigantic pussy! I'm Joel Hollander with traffic on the Don and Mike Show. See, was that so hard, Jim, you pussy?
WJFK FM.
Did you watch the ass today?
The Don and Mike Show.
Is anyone listening?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Cool, that explains everything.
Learn to listen. Listen to learn. The Don and Mike Show.
Now, time to pull back the curtain again. We love doing these segments with, frankly, I think one of the best voiceover guys in America.
Absolutely, no question.
Mm-hmm. Really a great guy. Dude Walker. He's the guy that does all of our, you know, out-of-spot things. Or, you know, right. You know, they're real dumb. Don and Mike.
A private pilot. A Connecticut native like myself from the Connecticut Valley.
And also...
I'm over here now.
There he is. You knew him from longtime Washington listeners, know him from Dude and Doug.
Ah.
The morning show with Dude and Doug. Or was it Doug and Dude? I think it was Dude and Doug. Dude and Doug. Anyway, he's Dude Walker, and most DJs, when they're going to have bumpers done... Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know any DJs that do them like we do. Most of them are like Rush Limbaugh, where they just go, "You're listening to the biggest, fattest slob in radio, Rush Limbaugh." There's some guy in a studio do it. Well, Dude's in a studio right now, but we have them do...
He's at his home, right? He has a very nice home studio.
ISD Online, and he has a home studio, and we have him read these live on the air, so you get to hear. Now, we have about 80 of them, and considering that we only play... How many a day, Robbie?
Seven.
Play seven a day.
Wow.
Means... This is going to last us for a long time.
Absolutely.
And some of these we're going to need to help Coach Dude with accents and
dialects and things like that.
So let's welcome now Dude Walker. Hey, Dude.
Are you there? We're hooking up the linkage there.
That is BTS too, right?
Yeah, he should be there.
Hey, Dude.
Well, you know, these things happen once in a while.
Rob and I were listening to him in queue.
Yeah, we heard him.
A moment ago.
Can we hear him in the distance? Dude, are you there?
Dude.
Hope you have
some Why, hello.
There he is.
Hey.
Hi there.
Hey, dude.
Hello there. Hi there.
Are you aware
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I'm,
we hear
I'm
you.
I'm hearing you.
Ah, you know what I think we might have is a real delay. He might be hearing us through delay.
I hear you.
Are you hear us live now?
Hello.
Hold on, Robbie's going to fix that.
All right, we're going to fix that. Bear with us, dude.
Give us just a second.
One, two. He's going to say okay.
Hello. See, I hear in his headphones. Yeah. Like, hello.
That's how much the delay is.
Wow.
Okay.
See, there's the okay.
Wow.
The delay is over 10 seconds now in this show. That's
strange. I don't know if I'm on or not.
That's how little they trust us now. It's like what you're hearing today, we might have actually done yesterday.
Right.
We might be on a 24-hour delay.
Now, this could be funny. I could ask him how he is, and we could wait for the delay.
How are you, dude?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Hey,
oh, look at that.
Right,
back up to normal.
Dude, before we get going with the session, I was watching the Shizzle Nizzle show on MTV, the Snoop Doggy Dog show.
Yeah.
And there was a parody commercial that was being played. Was that you?
No. What was it? I know it wasn't, but what was it?
Oh, I don't know. It was for a car dealership. And I know that I've heard you do real car commercials.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if someone else called and said that they thought that it sounded a lot like you.
Hmm. But we all sound alike, you know?
No, dude.
That's what they always say to us.
Yeah. You have a distinctive sound, dude. And have I heard you doing Ford commercials?
No. You hear me in Washington, you hear me doing the a Cadillac spot.
Ah, Cadillac.
Yeah,
Cadillac.
Is a Cadillac. And you've done a million spots throughout your career. And
well, sure.
You've also been, we know this about Dude Walker. You're also in an occasional movie in a little small part.
Oh, and TV.
In a little small part.
He's in the West Wing.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Did a little of that.
So
that was cool, doing all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm a little distracted today. Do you mind if I have a moment? You were just talking about Dude and Doug and early Washington radio for us. Do you know Ernie Fears?
Yeah, I know Ernie Fears. Dude, I know Ernie what you're going to say. I heard he passed away today.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Ernie Fears, you mean the sales guy that worked with us? No, the GM at
the older Ernie Fears. There's a junior and senior, isn't there?
The old guy from Q107, the old GM.
Oh, okay. All right, that's too bad. And I just thought it'd be remiss if I didn't mention it. He was a very influential character in very early in my career. It's like back in, what, 79 or something, when Q107 first started up.
Right.
And the guy was great. He was in my corner, and I had not seen him in years. I know he had some heart problems, and it's really sad that he's gone. So my condolences to his friends and family, and thanks for all you helped me out with, Guy.
You know, worked, I think Don and I worked with his son at WAVS. His son sold at WAVA, and that's how I got to meet Ernie Fears Senior one day when his dad came
right.
by.
Okay, all right.
To see what his son.
Well, that's too bad.
Boy, has that place gone downhill since he left, huh?
I'll say nothing.
Well, dude, that's nice. I'm glad you remembered.
Well, I thought I'd bring that in, bring it to a screeching halt here, but I don't think
it. No, listen, he was a very important figure in Washington radio. And
it'd be like Casey Kasem coming out of a death dedication.
Now, we'll get you on track here, dude.
Okay.
Understand. You know, Mike and I will say the same thing as soon as Alan Line 1 dies, which I'm hoping is going to be before the end of today's show.
Right.
Yeah, we're all crossing our fingers.
We won't say he was an influential character. We'll say he was a character.
Just a character. I think probably the only general manager that we really would seriously eulogize would be Al Goodman.
No, there's no question. He was so much fun and such a good guy. And why are we talking about him past tense? Would you know something?
Because he's dead to us now.
They're all dead once we leave.
General manager of a radio station in Columbus, one of those stations where it's always sunny in 95.
I think if Alan passes away, you should commission a song.
He did that for us 1 year on our anniversary show. And Mike and I were waiting for, money or booze.
Right.
And Alan said, I got you a gift. From the heart that means more than money or booze. We've gone to some cheap songwriting company and had this awful Michael Bolton-type song written about us.
It was horrible and embarrassing.
And it crushed him that we hated it.
Yeah. Right. Did you ever play it?
I've
never heard it.
We played it in mocked it. We played it once, I think, in mocked it. And he hated it. All right, let's get to this. Dude Walker, voice talent extraordinaire.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, we got 80 of them here.
That's right. I'm ready. I washed my ass today, by the way.
Hey, did you wash your ass today?
You know what? I think maybe like an impromptu.
Yeah, add that one.
Yeah. Did you wash your ass today?
How about that for number one?
Oh, sure. That's 1A, we'll call that.
Okay, let's start with that one, dude.
Did you wash your ass today? Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And there's no need. You can laugh during this because we're recording, dude, on a separate channel. Right now, number two.
Okay, well, that was number zero.
So number one on the list that you have, this is our tribute to the disc jockey Michael Savage.
They have very nice teeth, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Number two.
Occasional a-holes, Don and Mike.
Very good.
See, and the good thing about Dude is that it's like one take on all of these bands. Right. He's a pro. Number three, dude.
General managers of the Dummy Depot, Don and Mike.
Number four. This one is Rob's, and it's a really good one.
We will never speak of this again. The Don and Mike Show.
I love that one.
Number five.
Taking you on a journey that you could not take on your own. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I like those weird ones. That's good.
Number six, this is from our trip to Iceland, from the menu on the airplane.
Oh, good.
Drink your mead, but in moderation. No man is called discourteous who goes to bed at an early hour. Just ask Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
See, you really would have to track with the show to get that one. Number seven, this is a great one. It's a lie.
It's the daytime Emmy Award-winning Don and Mike Show.
Because it's a lie.
Okay. I'll take credit for the next two.
Okay.
All right. They are dirty. Wash them. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Number nine, this is something a kid said to me in a car recently.
They are old and pathetic. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, man.
Today I'm loving this. Number 10.
Moving faster than the speed of justice. The Don and Mike Show.
See, we get our political message.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I like that.
Number 11. This is a good one. Robbie, good one here.
They like their cruelty the way they like their women. Naked. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Excellent.
Number 12.
They like holes, not poles. Don and Mike.
Now, number 13. Do you have the original tape we can play for Dude?
Yeah, hold on one sec.
It's an Elvis thing, dude.
All right, yeah.
Hold on,
I bet I know what it is.
Don't move, Mike. You got it? It's got a yellow label on it, Rob. It's not sitting out.
It's not out? Pass over it. Pass one. And
all right, we'll pass it. We'll come back to that.
Pass over it, okay.
Let's go to 14. 14.
Cleansing your ears with a verbal enema. Don and Mike.
Very good. Number 15, our tribute to Craig Wilson.
They're more soothing than a pair of buttery soft moccasins. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Now, number 16, you got to know when we have Frida on the show. I always play that thing from Green Acres. Da 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 da.
Right.
Da da. And I call Frida, va 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 va.
Right.
Because you know, she always go, va 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 va, darling. So that's what we want you to do. Like Zsa Zsa, you go, va 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 va, darling.
All right. Va 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 va, darling. The Don and Mike Show.
Perfect. Number 17, Elvis Death Day is coming very soon.
Right.
This one you can do straight. Don't have to do it like Elvis, but it's about Elvis.
Please remember to wake them and feed them a cherry pie. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Is that the greatest?
That's what Elvis wanted. He wanted. He left instructions to be awakened and fed a cherry pie.
But he was in the hospital. All right. Hold on. We're moving back now to number 13.
13, yeah.
Here's the original tape, dude, of Elvis Presley.
Holy fellas. And don't move me. Let's get real, real going for a change.
Okay, so it's
hold it, fellas.
And don't move me.
They don't move me.
Let's get real, real going for a change.
I'll play it for you one more time.
He almost says gone for like a Memphis way.
Here's the tape one more time, dude.
Hold it, fellas. And don't move me. Let's get real, real going for a change.
You want to give it a try?
All right. Hold it, fellas.
That don't move me. Let's get real, real gone for a change.
That's
it's
it.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Great.
Number, all right.
Number 18.
All right. If you put a knick-knack on their whatnot, they'll give you a what for. Don and Mike.
That's Rob. That's Rob all the way.
The next three are Rob. 19.
Sorry. Not just lowbrow, they're no-brow. Don and Mike.
And 20, this is Rob, because it's all about the Dixie Chicks.
Mildly cross-eyed, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
21.
Happily cruising aboard the rudderless ship, Don and Mike.
That's us.
Now, 22... You got the tape?
Well, we don't have him saying it, I don't think.
But
well, yeah,
here's the inflection. It's an Elvis impersonator.
You are a great guy. Thank you so much. Anybody here never seen us before?
Hold on. It's coming up, dude.
A couple of people. Well, our show is the memories of Elvis. And this is a tribute to the late king of rock and roll. You know, we're not here to make fun of Elvis or take his place or anything like that. We're just here to bring you back some memories.
So in your best Elvis voice, the read is... They're not here to make fun, not here to replace. They just want to bring back some memories.
Very good. They're not here to make fun, not here to replace. They just want to bring back some memories. Don and Mike.
Yeah. Outstanding.
I like it when he does Elvis.
Yeah. Next one is, Rob, would you say... the
nice!
Word? Yeah, it's kind of off mic.
Okay.
Nice!
Okay, we'll do that. Here we go. Nice! Don and Mike. Oh, I didn't see what I was supposed to say. He's supposed to say the Don and Mike Show. Let's
okay,
do it again.
One more time.
Nice! The Don and Mike Show.
Good.
Okay, I'll take credit for the next one. I love this. I'd play this one every time if I could.
Please, no back talk. The Don and Mike Show.
I like the simple ones. They're great.
25, Mike, and this is something that I've said to people when they ask me about the show.
Very good.
A lifestyle-oriented program, The Don and Mike Show.
Remember when people ask me what the show is about? I say, well, we do a lifestyle show.
Yeah, we have different answers. I say shock talk, strong sexual content.
26.
They will make your ovaries rock hard. Don and Mike.
Yeah, baby.
27.
Right. Shut up, fat ass. Here's Don and Mike.
Number 28.
Like two pornographic Imagineers, Don and Mike.
Number 29.
Good evening, gentle persons. Here's Don and Mike.
Oh, there's somebody out there that's going to love that.
Yeah. Number 30 now. We are getting...
Did you wash the ass today?
We're getting urban here.
Is that like Randy from...
American Idol, right.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Right. Right.
That gravy dog, the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
Perfect. Very good.
This is something somebody actually said this to us one time. Number 31.
They have the best radio show on the radio, Don and Mike.
32. Dedicate this one to Joel Hollander.
Broadcasting in black and white as an infinity cost-cutting measure. The Don and Mike Show.
That's a good one.
33.
They're guys. Don and Mike.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah. 34. I love this one. Sorry, love it.
No, they're not retarded. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
It's so funny hearing him say it.
Yeah.
35.
They will do you well, Don and Mike.
Very good.
36.
Two willful boys, Don and Mike.
Hey, a tribute to The Shining. Very good.
37. This one I did for you and I, Mike, because it's the truth.
Very good.
They wish that they were prettier, Don and Mike.
38 from the movie The Contender.
And I say bravo to you, sirs. Bravo to Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
39 comes from Rob, and I think someone may have said it. Or did someone say it, or did you just think of it?
I think I pulled it from something. A caller said it.
Anyway, 39 is a good one.
Time to polish the peanut. Time for Don and Mike.
Number 40.
Rich with the good taste of hypocrisy. The Don and Mike Show.
There's always one in there. There's always something rich with the good taste.
Yep. 41 is dedicated to
Joe.
Joe Ardinger.
No Stinky Poon. The Don and Mike Show.
42.
Home of the world's dumbest millionaire. The Don and Mike Show.
Very good.
Here you go. Number 43. This is inspired again by that idiot Michael Savage.
They welcome vicious personal attacks. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I like that. Timely.
Let's skip 44.
All right.
And go to 45.
The leading cause of obesity in America. The Don and Mike Show.
We are.
Now, 46.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've ever heard us do the Shaq and Dennis thing.
Right.
Yeah. I've heard you guys do it. I haven't heard the original, though.
Well, so there really is no original.
Okay.
Because I always go, what's up, Doc? What's up, Doc? And Mike goes,
how are you doing?
So that's all you got to do.
It's almost like you get right on the mic and
I'll ride your level. I'll ride your level up. So you just get right up on the mic and it's, what's up, Doc?
Okay.
How are you doing?
Okay. Here we go. What's up, Doc? How you doing? The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. 47. This one, the reeks of Spiewak.
Bow to their capricious whims, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Rob. 48, and please say it like it's written.
Okay. National Treasures, Don and Mike.
T-R-A-Y.
Always nice to get the National Treasures in there.
Now, on number 49, when you say they are Icelandic cowboys,
mm-hmm.
we want you to sing In the West. Now, Mike, what's the tone?
In the West.
Just like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
In
you
want to
do it on
West.
One foot also? I mean, it's
In the West. In the West.
Okay, here we go. They are Icelandic cowboys. In the West, Don and Mike.
Nailed it.
Number 50. Never, truer words never spoken. Number 50.
They cherish most of their listeners, Don and Mike.
That's absolutely true.
51.
The keynote speakers at the BM banquet, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
52. Not really funny, we're just saying it because we can say the words now.
Even better than a titty bar, the Don and Mike Show.
53. Should probably never be on the show again, but our tribute to Leah Remini.
When in Los Angeles, they dine at Vivian's, Don and Mike.
That's great. You know, if we ever do have her on the show, we can break that out.
Yeah. Number 54, this is so true.
Broadcasting from the zone of uncertainty, the Don and Mike Show.
Very good.
55. I'm proud of this one.
Profoundly normal. I made a noise there, Stugan. Profoundly normal. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yes, profoundly.
56. This is from Rob.
My favorite.
This is so Rob. He says this to me all the time in real life.
Very good.
They will gladly render your body fat into soap and then grind up your bones to make bread. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
That's so good when he
says. Don't ask.
Something out of a fairy tale.
57. Okay, here you go. Here's one from me. A little lighter.
Two solid men who work with their hands for ye. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Just do that one more time. Who work with their hands for ye.
I see. Two solid men who work with their hands for ye, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Perfect.
58, our tribute to Ocean's 11.
Did somebody call for a doctor? Because here's John. Do it again. Did somebody call for a doctor?
Dude, hold on. Let me play you the tape.
Oh, okay.
Here's Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
Did someone call for a doctor?
Oh, it's someone.
Yeah, someone called for a doctor.
Did someone call for a doctor?
Yeah, take did out of that. It's just.
Someone call for a doctor?
Someone call for a doctor?
Sure. Someone call for a doctor? Because here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Very good.
59.
Suck me. The Don.
I got him.
You never lose it.
Got him.
You never lose it.
I cracked myself up. I heard myself saying that and it made me laugh.
All right.
All right. Suck me. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah.
Not have my favorite.
Number 60.
Making your penis feel young. Don and Mike.
61, this is for Tim.
Creating their legacy. Don and Mike.
Amen, brother.
62, this is a takeoff of what a guy said to Buzz one time.
Come and taste their friendship. The Don and Mike Show.
Let's go past 63. Let's go to 64.
Always the exception to every rule ever made. Yeah. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
65.
Filling your radio with their intoxicating aroma. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
66. Here's the cadence. Are they strong? Listen, bud. They've got radioactive blood.
Okay.
You know, it's a Spider-Man thing.
All right. Are they strong? Listen, bud. They've got radioactive blood. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Perfect. 67. Also from the menu on our airplane returning from Iceland.
A kind word need not cost much. With half a loaf of bread and an empty cup, I found myself two friends, Don and Mike.
68.
Doing an adequate job, Don and Mike.
Absolutely.
69.
Master haters, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
70. Mike, this is for you.
Good.
They love to get festive, Don and Mike.
Amen.
Now, for 71, I don't know if you've ever been to Ocean City and seen this tool, the Stallion. But,
oh, yes.
But it's like this. It's bingo, baby.
Here we go. Bingo, baby. The Don and Mike Show.
Now, on 72, you got to do it kind of like in the voice like this. Lick the bees. Lick the bees. Lick the bees.
Lick the bees.
Lick the bees. The Don and Mike Show.
73, our tribute to Red Roof Inn.
They'll put more cash in your khaki pants, Don and Mike.
74.
They like 'em cow big, Don and Mike.
75. Somebody said this recently, and I don't know why. Just struck us as funny.
Their comedy is partly shtick, Don and Mike.
Mm-hmm. 76. How true. Sorry.
The cure for love cancer, the Don and Mike Show.
77 is for Alan.
They wear a lot of hats while they sit on the fence making a commitment. Don and Mike.
I mean, that's inside.
Yeah.
Too bad. 78, this is mine. I love having coined this phrase.
They'll make you have the white pea. Don and Mike.
79, just because we need another read on it.
Can you believe we're back from commercials already? Here's Don and Mike.
And finally, yes. Number 80.
Yes, it's a big one. God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
There you go.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
He's a one-take wonder. That's why we can do that in that quick a period of time.
That's how you do a session. You know, a lot of times, and Mike does commercials an awful lot, and Buzz does as well. You go into one of these things, and you got a guy in a room going, no.
Oh, man.
You know, give me no, I want to, yeah. You got to give me a bit different inflection. And
Buzz will tell you, and Dude will tell you the same thing. Mm-hmm. Nothing we'd rather not hear than, the client is here.
Yeah.
Worst words ever.
Oh, geez.
Well, Dude, the client is always happy when you're on the show. And
I love being with you guys. It's been great.
You got anything to sell? You want a guy to do the commercial?
I ought to plug my website, although I don't know what I'll get other than a bunch of your listeners.
Go ahead, dude. I bet you get some fan mail.
It's dudewalker.com, and they're welcome to take a look and see what I've been doing.
Plenty of nude photos of Dude on that website, and you'll enjoy it. They're tasteful nudes, right?
I hadn't thought of that. I can do that, can't I?
Why not?
Yeah, dudewalker.com. If you're listening in another city out there and you want a decent voice guy,
absolutely.
You know, more than decent.
He's the man.
He's the guy. He's our guy.
Mm-hmm.
Dude,
yeah.
Great session. Thank you as
Thank
always.
Thank you, guys. See you
okay.
soon.
See ya.
All right,
bye, dude.
There he goes.
Class act two.
Yep.
Dude Walker.
Did you walk the ass today?
Meanwhile, back to our world.
He did.
I bet he did.
Yeah.
He adds, you know, in his own strange little way, doesn't he add a little class to our show?
Yeah.
Whenever he's on, I always feel like I've had a nice clean shower.
What's really great about Dude, and what was great about Paul, the other guy that we had for years before we switched to Dude, is that dude will read anything.
He will. Yeah.
He'll read anything. You know, they'll make you have white pee.
Right.
He's got no problem reading anything
we
write.
He's so straight. He's such a classic straight announcer that it sounds funnier when he does that.
He gets it right every time, and I am so proud we made him laugh once.
Yeah, we got him.
He never does
that. And you know what?
Suck it.
Suck me. Suck me. Fantastic.
That was a highlight.
All right. Thank you. Great session, dude. Well, we'll be right back. Oh, and the master.
Hey!
The guy.
Yes.
The Satan Show. Satan's coming on, and hold on, let me check my notes.
Mm-hmm.
Satan has his protege, star of tomorrow today.
Very good.
When we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Avenue, gone. All lanes open. Accident southbound 495 interloop of Capitol Beltway at Woodrow Wilson Bridge midspan. Left lane block. Delays from St. Barnabas. This traffic report is a service of the Metropolitan. Your tastes have grown up. Shouldn't your address do the same? Sign a lease at any Metropolitan location and get a Tag Heuer watch. She's the Metropolitan at Alexandria, Arlington, Pentagon City. Joel Hollander for the Don and Mike Show, WJFK.
Thanks, Joe.
The writing is delicious.
The Don and Mike Show.
If you put a knick-knack on their whatnot, they'll give you a what for. Don and Mike.
That's how fast the turnaround is. We got the new Dude Walker stuff here.
I love him.
Nick Foley just got here. We're giving him a beverage. We'll bring him in. I think we get at least two segments out of Mankind today.
Very good.
And everybody loves talking to him, Nick, especially when he's in person. Now, though... Oh, boy. I love the Satan Show, and I love it when Satan has a special guest.
Very, very exciting.
Let me see. Robbie, you want to load that music up for me?
Oh, yeah. He's standing by.
Well, let's do it.
I am the God of Hellfire, and I bring you fire.
Hey, Buzz, where's my intro?
And now, from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's the Satan Show.
How you doing?
Ow!
I want to say hi to Joel Hollander. How do you think you got that gig?
How are you, Satan?
I'm doing great, Mike.
You're looking fantastic in that three-piece suit.
I love the hot weather.
It's really, I know that you invented the hot weather, and, I want to thank you once again for not burning us all up today.
Yeah. I tried very hard yesterday to bring some tornadoes into the area, but...
It didn't work, but you got everybody in a pretty good panic, Satan.
Well, the thing is, here's the deal.
Yes, tell me.
I'm working on the tornadoes.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I get a call on the cell phone, and it's Simon Cowell, and he says, I got this new show, Cupid.
Right.
And it's about to debut, and I'm working out the deal with him, and the next thing you know, the tornadoes have already passed.
Mm. Now, I'm going to upset you, but I have to mention this, Satan. Isn't it really, I hate to say this.
Don't say the G word.
Isn't it God that makes tornadoes?
Ow!
Mike.
Ow!
What were you thinking?
Ow.
You didn't, ow.
Mike, let me ask you something.
Yes, Prince of Darkness.
Are tornadoes good?
No, they're bad. They cause...
Somewhere would they come from? From me, Satan.
Okay.
Earthquakes,
yeah.
Famine,
well,
drought, hurricane, tornado.
Humorous.
Who do you think invented West Nile virus?
But I thought when something like that happens, they call it...
Pestilence.
The will...
I'm the man.
...of God.
Ow!
Mike.
Buzz, I'm just trying to be honest. Drop and roll.
Oh,
drop and roll.
Ow.
But don't mention that.
I'm sorry, I won't do that. Okay, yeah, I think I'm...
Listen,
confused.
I came
right.
by today for yeah. a very exciting edition of the Satan Show.
Mm-hmm.
First, I want to ask everybody listening, if you're in California, stop by Vivian's.
Really?
It's a great eatery. I was hired by Leah Remini, incidentally. And I've had some problems with her, which is why King of Queens is being moved to Wednesday on CBS.
So you put her in the crappy time slot, huh?
Yeah. Incidentally, in case you're wondering about the weather thing.
Yes.
I am also plague.
Oh, you are?
I am drought.
You are. Okay. You sound like Aaron Spelling, the producer. You're talking about all the things you are. And have you been surfing betterlovelife.com recently?
I am like Aaron Spelling. I am a producer.
Right.
And I have a unique talent.
You do?
Well, I want to bring to your attention, I know that the show...
You know, when I said BetterLoveLife.com, I was just trying to get you to say a particular word. The doctor, the woman.
Dr. Natasha Terry?
Yeah.
I know you've got a big boner for her, Mike.
I do, and I always like it when you say
Dr. Natasha Terry. You know, yesterday,
yeah.
I could have helped you score with Candace Bushnell.
Really? You could have helped me?
Like, she's not in my book.
Yeah, she is.
I mean, how do you look at her?
She hit the lottery, nice, didn't she?
She's a nice enough looking woman.
Yes, she's a fine looking woman.
But next to Don's wife.
Yes.
Have you ever heard a bitch with a more annoying voice?
Wow.
I was listening yesterday, wanted to slap the radio.
How long has she been in your camp, Satan?
Since she got that developmental deal with HBO.
Very good. Well,
I signed her right after I signed Bobby Wool.
Oh, that's true.
After Robert Wool.
Oh, my God. Robert Wool.
You are evil.
I know a lot of you are familiar with American Idol. I had a lot to do with that show. Simon Cowell was a close friend. I got Ryan Seacrest, the gig as the host on that show.
Well, I think everybody that's on that show is connected to you in some way.
Paula Abdul, Randy,
right,
the black judge, is the only guy who is not currently a client.
Oh, really? Oh, so he's done it all on his own?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But I'll get my revenge against him.
Mm-hmm.
All my revenge will be sweet. Now, here's what's happening. The show American Idol's coming to an end, and they've got this made-up deal that America's going to be calling in and picking the winner.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, Simon calls me and says, I've got a real problem. The brother is winning.
Mm-hmm.
And not that the brother's not talented, and you should know this, I treat all of my clients equally. Eddie Murphy has been a client of mine.
Yes, you do not discriminate, Satan. I'm aware of that.
I want you to know something. His career was absolutely
right
dead.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think gave him daddy daycare?
Really?
You look at that. I said, Eddie.
You did it?
Eddie.
Fantastic.
I'm going to put you in daddy daycare. It's going to make $100 million.
Well, you know, he owed you for Nutty Professor, so you know, you've been with him a long time.
I advised him against the clumps, but he did it anyway.
Yeah.
And you know what? The bastard showed me wrong.
Well, that's... you know, you can be proven wrong occasionally, Satan, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what else I was wrong about. I told him to do Pluto Nash.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's bad.
That was bad.
Very good.
Hold on. I got a call. I don't want to bring it back.
Satan's taking a phone call, ladies and gentlemen. Lucifer is now speaking.
Satan,
he's got a call coming in.
Listen, I'm on the radio. I can't. Let me just...
He's whispering in the phone. He doesn't want us to hear it.
F U.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. Take fire truck. Take the beginning and the end. F U.
Yeah.
How do you spell truck?
Okay.
T R U.
He's obviously giving somebody an F U call.
You. F U.
Who? Who exactly was that, Satan?
Joe Piscopo.
Oh,
I don't know how
still bothering
got,
you, right?
I don't know how he got my number. I think Eddie gave it to me.
For those of you that know Joe Piscopo, one of the few people that has ever torn up the contract with Satan, and I think anybody who's followed Joe Piscopo's career would know that he did indeed tear up the contract.
His lack of career.
Yeah.
I did get him the job, though, as the Frank Sinatra sounded like in the Brisk Lemon Iced Tea commercials.
Yeah.
So let me get back to the matter at hand.
The matter at hand. What's going on, Satan?
I get a call from Simon, and he says, I'm in a real problem area here. That this guy, Ruben, who's very talented,
right,
is going to win the contest. But this straw-haired, weak, girly man from North Carolina.
You mean Clay Aiken?
Clay Aiken.
Yeah.
That's the idiot's name. He says, Simon says to me, I've got him signed to the record contract.
Mm-hmm.
So, who do they call? You know, who are you going to call? Call Lucifer.
Yes, the Prince of Darkness is always there.
Yeah.
He calls me up and he says, I need a solution. And I said, I got it. Here's the deal. We lie about the voting.
Right.
We say that Ruben's the winner.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have the retarded host say that the voting was 1 million votes apart.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's going to say it was 100,000 apart.
Right.
Then he's going to say it was 10,000 apart.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's going to say it was 1,000 apart.
Yeah.
And people will forget that really Ruben wanted a landslide, and Clay Aiken will end up getting a recording contract.
Wow, that's terrific. They gave them both recording contracts.
And ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring now the latest star in the Lucifer stable, and I'm going to debut... Oh, is this the right cut?
Everybody's...
No, that's...
That's Ruben, isn't
that's
it?
That's Ruben.
Mm-hmm.
Wrong cut. He didn't have to sign with
That was Rob that set that up for you, said.
You want to say hi to Rob?
I love Rob. I got nothing but love for Rob.
I understand you've got a close relationship with him.
Listen, don't miss Don and Rob in Sacramento. Saturday, July 19th, the Club Aqua. These two bastards are going to Sacramento. That's my waiting room, incidentally.
God's waiting room? Oh, I'm sorry. Not God. Oh, I didn't mean...
Ow! Ow! I mean Satan's waiting room.
Mistake.
It's a simple mistake.
Listen to this piece of garbage.
Yeah.
Straw-haired, girly man, Clay Aiken. The loser on American Idol, who I've signed as a client now.
Okay.
I'd like to bring him in. Come on in, Clay.
Man, I just want to say that you are so helpful in my career. And you've made me really feel special, Dave. I think you just... can I take this dog collar off? Can I do that, please?
You're a talentless eunuch.
Thank you. Yes, I am, Prince of Darkness. I will do whatever you wish me to do.
Wow. Listen, everybody. Listen to this.
Yeah.
Even I hate this.
I will lay me down. Thank you, Satan. This is really just exciting. I just can't tell you how excited I am to be with you. Yes, sir. This is... God, I can't tell you how excited I am.
Ow,
I didn't mean to say God. I'm sorry, Satan. I'm sorry.
Master Clay Aiken.
He's the Prince of Darkness, Lucifer, Satan, the Prince of
Darkness. Who made it happen for you?
King of the Underworld, Satan, Lucifer.
Who told you to change your hair and make it that straw look?
Man with the horns and a forked tail. You, Satan. I think you are special and fantastic.
Now, will I play your record here on the National Radio Show?
I'm very, very appreciative of the fact that you're playing that. All my friends back in Carolina. I'm digging that, Satan.
I want you to sit in that chair and turn your back to me.
Yes.
And give me some of your seed.
Oh, dear.
Hold on a second.
He's a very pure boy.
Yeah. You've got him doing it.
I don't want to see him.
I'm turning my back to you, Beelzebub. Beelzebub is... It's almost ready. Beelzebub. Ah, there it is.
Oh,
here you go. I give it to you.
I'm going to give it to you. Put it in your hand, you stupid AC.
I'm going to give it to you just like Emeril Lagasse. Bam!
Oh, God.
Put it in a cup.
I got some on my overalls. All right, so I put it in a cute little Dixie cup with little flowers on it and everything, Satan. There you are.
I got some nice young virgins.
We're not getting a chance to listen to my music.
I'm going to use my turkey baster.
I see.
And I'm going to make myself a bunch of perfect little man children like you.
Thanks so much, Satan.
You talentless prick.
Thank you, the devil. The devil is my friend.
The only reason this record is even being played now is because I, Satan, have made it happen for you, Clay Aiken.
He lets me carry around a little pitchfork just like he has.
Oh, that's fine.
Fantastic. Sometimes I wear my devil's hat. You are just so special, I tell you right there. Satan, I love you and I worship you and I will go on until you burn me again, Satan. Because I think you are the greatest person in the entire world.
Listen
yes.
to me.
Yes, Satan.
Listen, AC.
Hello.
You're a one-hit wonder. I'm going to make this record happen for you.
Thank you.
And then you're going to be gone faster than you can say Kelly Clarkson.
But, Satan, I've given you my seed. I have given you my seed, Satan. Yeah. How can you can't make my career last longer?
I can.
Why don't you come to my house for grip?
I can end your career at any moment.
Wow. Would you like to come down and have some greens?
Don't you forget that.
I understand that.
I'll straighten your hair out.
Yes.
And I'll send you back down to North Carolina.
Satan, can you give me smaller ears? Listen to that big finish.
Wow.
I love this thing. Nothing gives me greater pleasure than
that.
And it's sad, really.
Take your phone call. Take your phone call, Satan.
Very, very busy.
Yes.
Baby.
Who's he talking to?
Hey, baby.
Who is... Hate talking to.
You're my man. You know what he is? He's the flavor of the month, okay?
He's not talking about me.
Oh.
He's nothing. Did you hear it? It's overproduced.
I try to be so sweet and nice to everybody now. I just can't believe it.
You know what? Hey, no, listen. He makes you look like George Clooney, okay? He makes you look masculine.
I'm not sure who he's talking to. I really don't understand them. Listen, I don't understand
the song
he's talking
overproduced.
To.
It's only a hit because he's given me his soul and he's given me his seed.
I have the blank, vacant stare that results when cousins marry.
I know. I'm working on your comeback.
Yes.
Don't worry. I know it's schmaltzy. Hey, don't forget.
It smells like sulfur in here.
Who got your mandy?
Always done.
I don't know who he's
talking to. Who writes the song?
He's always talking to my idol. Barry Manilow.
Yeah.
Let me talk to him, Satan. Let me talk to him. Please let me talk to him.
Do you want to talk to the Hayseed? Oh, really? I didn't know that Barry Manilow could say the F word. Do it. Tell him. Hold on, here. He'll talk to you. Maybe hear what he's got to say to you.
Hello, I sleep in a barn.
You're on the phone with Barry Manilow.
Mr. Manilow, may I just say that this is Clay Aiken, and I'm so excited about the fact that I'm talking to you, and I just think that you are the most incredible singer, and I've patterned my entire existence. You didn't need to say that. That was not very nice.
He made me cry. He told me F you.
Barry.
I was his biggest fan.
Poor Clay.
Oh, that's great. That's you made him cry. You made him cry like a little girl that he is. Wah. You want to hear me right now?
Wah.
Hey, Barry, just for you. Wah. Hey, Clay, pull down your pants.
There we go. Anything Satan says, your wish is my command there.
Pull down your pants.
There's little Clay.
Oh, dear.
Watch what I'm going to do.
Take a look at little Clay.
Watch this.
What is that?
One real fast burst of fire.
What are you doing?
And I'm going to change that penis into a vagina.
No, don't do that. Say, oh, look at that.
Hey, Barry.
Oh, I kind of like that.
Hey, Barry.
That kind of works for me.
Well, congratulations.
That feels pretty good.
He's got a, you know what?
Wow, that's incredible. Look at that. Satan just a burst of fire, and now I've just got a female part. I've got a female part down there. That's incredible. That's incredible. Satan's got quite the potty mouth, doesn't he?
He does. Well, he invented those words.
He does. What a
All right, Barry. You're the greatest. Listen.
From a stallion to a mare.
You write the songs.
Man.
What can I say? If it's a true blue miracle, the miracle is you. Don't worry. You're Barry Manilow. He is Clay Aiken.
I am Clay Aiken. I was a rooster. Now I'm a hen.
Yes, my best for Clive. All right, Joe.
Wow. Satan, and now that you're done with your conversation with Mr. Manilow, can I ask you a question?
Yes, what is it, Douglas?
May I keep my vagina? Please, Satan, let me keep it. Please don't make me back.
Now, are you trying reverse psychology on me?
No, I am not. I swear to God, I think this is what I've always wanted to be. I always wanted to be a woman. And I am jonesing for some shine.
Hold on, I gotta make a call. Give me a second.
I could sure use a glass of shine, Satan.
Give me a second.
Hang on, please. Gotta make another call.
I'm fixing to eat me some grits and drink some shine. Rob just wants me to be real down home. I am Clay Aiken. I'm fixing to have a corn cob pipe. I'm smoking.
Hello, Simon.
Oh, that
Simon,
bastard.
Hey, it's Lucifer.
I hate him so much. I hate him with all of my being. He's
the
nastiest man.
I can't take him.
Now that I have my vagina, he won't be able to touch it. That's
the farm boy. The record is a piece of ass. Barry Manilow just told him to F off. I just turned his penis into a vagina, and he's as happy as a pig in ass.
That straw hat is unraveling.
I'm dropping him immediately.
Oh,
I owe you one.
I'm chewing on wheat.
Trust me, kid, it's going to be a smash. I'm letting him go. Oh, yeah, you're the man.
Yeah, that plan.
Much love.
You don't,
bye-bye.
You don't have to say goodbye to him. I don't like him. Satan, I have to get back to you for this one more time, please. Rest my mind. Rest my little old mind. Y'all mind if I keep my vagina? Please, Satan.
No.
I got the best voice in the holler.
And now watch as I make you a unit.
Oh, this will not do, Satan.
And now I want you to drink water. I order you to drink water. And now, notice. There's nowhere for the water to come out.
You're just very cool. Why are you abusing me and treating me so badly? It's because you don't like my music. Is that what it is?
I have dropped you as a client.
No, it's
like... I will now, as in the movie Pinocchio,
I have no...
turn you into half man, half donkey.
Ow!
Still with no genitals.
Say, Eaton.
Smell.
Say, Eaton.
Wow.
Satan, please. I don't like these donkey feet.
I have no time for you.
Do not kick me out. Do not kick me out.
I am the god of hellfire.
Oh,
and I bring you fire.
That's all the time I have. Until next time.
I'm going to drown myself in the fishing hole.
I'm so glad we had this time together. Our current time is 5:15. Until next time, I hope your time is a good time. This is Satan. Don't forget, he reached me anytime. Just call CBS. Viacom, I'm on the top floor.
And it's Clay Aiken. I sure hope y'all go out and buy my record. I'd sure really picked it. I'm thinking to go out there right now. I got a donkey butt.
Get your donkey ass out of here.
Goodbye, Satan. I love everybody.
Speaking of donkeys, I put Eddie Murphy in that Shrek thing, too.
Yeah, hey, Satan, you were a little rough on Clay Aiken.
He was
very rare that I turned down a client, buddy.
Yeah, you know, you walked out of here, you had donkey feet.
Yeah.
Did you hear that song? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, you obviously didn't like it.
Boy, I got a guest here. Hold on. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, you sucker. Get that.
Oh, he doesn't like you. Tom Gavin does not like you, Satan.
I love it when the card calls.
Hey, Mike?
Yes, yes there, Tom?
Hey, can we use Charlie on him?
No, we're not going to use Charlie on him. Tom, you just have to talk very meanly to Satan.
You son of a...
He doesn't like you.
Remember what? Remember what the priest told you growing up, Tom? Satan is the enemy.
Damn it.
Fight him.
God damn you, Satan.
Yeah. Tom, I love you. You're one of my
children. I'm going to use my power on you now.
So, second time we have
worked
Tom Gavin into the Satan bit.
Satan, disappear.
And I think he should be involved in all future bits on the show.
Tom?
Yes.
I made love to your mother.
Shut up.
I am your father, Luke.
No, I'm going to Charlie. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, Tard. Hey, Tard. I made you.
You lying sack of S-P-K.
S-P-K. Listen to him.
Rosemary's song.
He makes me laugh.
Means.
He amuses me.
Stupid idiot.
He amuses me.
Satan.
In our ass.
What has that over here? Satan won't respond to you, Tom, unless you use the real bad words, the real ones.
Can I do it, Mike?
Yes, go ahead. Tee off on with all the bad words.
F-A-D-O.
He couldn't do it all the way.
Shut up, you faggot!
Wow.
Shut up!
Okay.
Tom, you'll always be my jester.
I'm not your goddamn person.
Take care.
Jester.
Take care, Tom.
Hey, Mike.
No, Tom.
Enjoy your
Mike.
Time to go. Bye-bye, Tom.
Why?
Just because Satan's done with you.
Hey, Satan.
Yes, Tom.
Get up out of the studio and get Tom back.
All right, hang up, Tom.
Bye, Tom.
Hey, get back quick.
Bye,
Tom. There he goes.
There he goes.
Ah, yes. She loved talking to Tom.
I mean, there he goes.
Ah, yes. Wonderful.
There he goes.
Always a pleasure.
The power of Christ.
The power of the Tard compels you. The power of the Tard compels you.
Oh, my. Always nice to have the Prince of Darkness.
I
here.
Love yeah. Satan.
Good people.
When we come back, Mick Foley's here.
Yeah. Yes.
Mankind.
Cool. Author, brand new author. Well, he's written a bunch of stuff, but he's got a new book.
He's got a new book.
Mm-hmm.
Read it on vacation.
Yep.
It's kind of girly. I like reading it.
Oh, God, I can't believe you said that. He's here, you know.
Yeah. I know he is. I'm telling to his face. It's very...
You're going to call his book a girly book?
It's sentimental.
Ah, okay. Well, that's a different
that's
word.
That's all right. It's girly sentimental.
Out there now, you've called him a girly man.
No, he's okay with it. He won't kill me here. Anyway, listen, Mick is coming in, then he'll take your calls. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Accident cleared northbound 495 inner loop of Capitol Beltway before River Road moved to the left shoulder. All lanes are open. Slow traffic northbound 395 is slow at Boundary Channel Drive across the 14th Street Bridge and onto the freeway to the South Capitol Street exit.
Are you trying to read this way, Joel?
No. This traffic report is a service of Giant Food. This week at Giant, fresh salmon fillets are on sale for only $4.99 a pound. Fresh, never frozen salmon is easier to cook and just tastes better. Fresh ideas, great values. That's your Giant. I'm Joel Hollander for the Don and Mike Show, WJFK.
Until the next time on Unsavage Airways, this is Michael Savage. Let's go to a caller. If you have an airline horror story, give me a ring right here on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Did you have a worse case than this one?
Hey, Michael Savage. Pleasure to speak with you today.
Yeah.
I was flying out of LaGuardia.
Yeah.
And there's two undercover security guards.
Yeah.
Somebody was smoking in the bathroom.
Someone was smoking in the bathroom.
Unbelievable.
Oh, sodomist.
Yeah.
Are you a sodomite?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you're one of the sodomites. You should only get AIDS and die, you pig. How's that?
Oh.
Why don't you see if you can sue me, you pig? You got nothing better than to put me down, you piece of garbage? You got nothing to do today? Go eat a sausage and choke on it. Get trichinosis. Okay, we have another nice caller here who's busy because he didn't have a nice night in the bathhouse. Is angry at me today? Huh? Get me another one. Put another sodomite on.
Wait, what does that mean exactly?
The Don and Mike Show. They are old and pathetic. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, Mick.
Hey,
I got to tell you, before we get to Mankind, just reading this Michael Savage thing is so nutty.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the latest over the press. Bob Foster, the prank caller, who said Don and Mike and led to event,
set off events that led to Michael Savage's firing at MSNBC is slated to make an exclusive appearance tonight at 11 p.m.
No.
On the syndicated radio show Online Tonight with David Lawrence.
Oh, our good friend David Lawrence. That'll be interesting.
The caller, known as East Coast Bob, will reportedly tell all about the incident in his first radio interview.
Not sure I like the idea of now giving crank callers you know, these interview slots, but you know, it will be interesting because that's what started this whole thing.
It's nuts. Well, here he is back. We're so glad to see you in person, Mick, as opposed to on the phone.
Yeah, I'm so glad to see me that you tore me apart while I was sitting in the green room.
Yeah, did you hear when Don called your book a girly man book?
Called it a girly
book. I read it. I read the book, and I stand by that.
And I would have read it if I was able to read, but I cannot read.
It is sensitive.
It is sensitive.
It has a side of you that, and I wanted to ask you, how much of that book did you just make up, and how much did you draw from your life? I hope your life wasn't...
My life wasn't quite that bad, and I never did come in from a first date to see my dad exercising naked in the living room. But, you know what it is? I got into that zone, that sensitive zone, Don, where I imagined. It was like being a wrestler again, getting into character. So when I sat down, I was that sensitive 17-year-old kid.
What is the name of your book again?
Tatum Brown.
And it's out now.
It is out now, and it's out now. It was released a couple days ago, and I'll be signing it tonight. I'm going to go for the plug. Right?
Go ahead.
I'm going for
go for it.
Do
it. Do it,
Mick. Sabotaged my writing nationwide. I might as well try to get some wrestling fans out there.
Sure.
All right, it's a sensitive damn book, but if you come out there, I'll tell stories about Al Snow. I'll tell inappropriate stories about Ben.
Al Snow again. Here we go.
Olson's Books at 7 o'clock. And it is. Now that this is a novel, I can't just show up and sign books. Like it's a reading and a conversation.
So but you're going to read out of the book?
No, I don't sit there and read. That's what other writers do. I will explain like how story. Like, for example, the part of the book where Andy's having a tough time and he asks his dad for advice, right?
Uh-huh.
His dad comes forth with probably the oddest romantic advice ever given.
I would agree.
Okay.
I would agree.
And that came directly from the mouth of one of my cohorts back in 1992, and I was thinking, this is the grossest thing I've ever heard.
Did it come from a wrestler?
Exactly. Yeah. Worst thing I've ever heard. Not that I haven't utilized that information many times, but I thought, you know, this is terrible, but I'm going to use it somewhere. So I never thought it'd be a novel 11 years later, but a lot of it is inspired by the rather weird...
I would say read the book. I'm not saying... Don't read the book. I read it, as a matter of fact, it was on the beach. Mm-hmm. I read the book in a day.
Yeah.
In one day, and it's not, and I'm not saying it's because the writing is big.
Well, you're a fast reader. Yeah. Some of us struggle with it.
Mick, it is a page turner.
It is a page turner.
It is a page turner.
You know what? You guys know what buttons to push. You were doing this to me last time. So now I'm on these important literary shows, and they're going, it's very violent, isn't it? And I'm saying, well, it's not that violent. It's a, you know, it
has violent parts.
It doesn't glorify the violence. And now I'm on your show. I'm like, no, testicles are ripped off. The eyeballs are crushed.
I'll give you the highest compliment.
Damn you, Don Jermichael.
I would find parts of the book so funny
that
I would say to my wife when we were sitting on the beach, I swear to God, I would say to my wife, I just want to read you two paragraphs out of this book. And they'd be totally out of context.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm trying to explain to her, you know, this kid's life and what he's going through. And I would just, like, take one or two paragraphs and just read them to her. And I'd be laughing, seriously laughing. And she'd go, I guess I have to read more to understand why you're laughing. But I think it's a guy thing. I think as much as I'm saying it's a sensitive, girly book, it's a guy book.
You know, I think for people who like their sensitive, girly books, you know, laced with graphic violence, this is kind of the book they've been looking for. This way, someone can get the sensitive stuff in, but if someone calls them on it, say, hey, wait. Look at this. Eyeball crushed against the guy.
Yeah, there is a lot of that. There is
when
a lot
is
of...
the movie coming out? That's what I want to know.
Don't know. I'm having discussions.
There you go.
In a couple of weeks.
Now,
it's not exactly a Will Smith 4th of July blockbuster, but I think one of these strange, like, Billy Bob Thornton types could probably do a nice job with it.
You know, I was looking at an interview.
Glover. He would be a... Who's that weird guy?
Willard. He was Willard, and he's been weird and everything else.
That's not who I was thinking of. It's not who I had in mind to play the dad when I was writing it.
Oh, well, no, well, I was thinking more like of the son. I was not tight with...
All I know is I don't want to interfere with some kind of producer. You know, maybe Spielberg will grab it. But even, I don't care who it is. First of all, I will say to him, look, I'm invoking the no Edward Furlong clause. You know, I can't have some little punk SOB, you know, ruining my sensitive story.
Lisa just told us before you came in, you were on the Today Show.
Yeah.
And I know people are probably going to bring this up, so I wanted to jump right in front.
You talk about my jacket and tie, aren't you?
Well, no, I'm not. See, I was not going to mention your Looney Tunes tie. I was going to ask you. What happened to your house out in Florida?
Oh, man, what a bummer. Yeah, this is a true story. I didn't say this on the Today Show. I found out. I'm glad I didn't know. I thought I would have went, you know, in
a little sales
air
thing,
on
right.
national TV. The truth is, I'm at Knopf Offices. That's my publisher.
Right.
And I check my messages. I get this urgent call from WWE. It's Lynn Brent, you know, who's went to Talent Relations. He said, please call right away. It's very important. And so my publisher says, you know, what do you think they want? And I said, I think they're going to ask me to main event in SummerSlam. Because when I was on recently, you know, we did some good
right.
stuff. Ratings went up a little bit.
I saw you. You were good on that.
Yeah, it was pretty good stuff, I thought. And she said, can you do it? I said, man, I don't know. I'm 25-city book tour. Like, it's not like you can just jump to the gym when you're... Not that I ever jumped into the gym anyway.
Yeah, but you got to get ready for it. Right?
Yeah, I would have to get ready for it. And I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I call up, and she says, hello, Cactus? This woman still calls me Cactus.
Cactus Jack, right.
Cactus Jack. And I said, yeah, I'm waiting for, like, the big offer. And she says, I don't know how to tell you this, but your house burned
down. I mean, I don't mean to laugh.
Wow.
It was not funny.
No, it was like, what a downer, you know.
Yeah.
And fortunately, it's not the house I was living in. The house is up for sale, which I'm sure the insurance agents are going to like and question me about. So, you love the house, but it was on the market.
And it burned down mysteriously while you were out of town on your book tour.
As somebody who just sold his house, I can relate to that a little bit, you know.
But
it wasn't on the market for a long time, was it, Mick?
It was. No, we had a renter in there for a little while.
Okay, all right. Are you
fine? I think he was in there. But the thing was, this is the house my kids grew up in, you know. This is the house where I wrote Have a Nice Day, like all the Christmas mornings and all that stuff.
Yeah.
We conceived one of our children in that house, you know, so it's got some nice memories in it. It's kind of a...
Any details as to what caused the fire or anything like that?
No, I no one knows, you know.
Wow.
The high attic fire. So
well, it sucks. It sucks.
Yeah.
You mentioned WWE, and I wanted to ask you before we get to your calls. I mentioned again the book Tiedem Brown. Tonight here in D.C., Olson's Books in Arlington, Wilson Boulevard at 7 o'clock. You go to mickfoley.com. Have you seen the Brian Gumbel show this month on HBO?
I did not. I was trying to check it out. I was on the road, and I didn't get HBO.
Okay, well, they got Rowdy Piper on.
Yes.
And he's talking about all the blow that he did when he was in the WWE, at that time WWF. And they got Vince on.
Right.
And Vince is doing the interview, and he slaps the papers out of the guy's hand.
Vince threw a little tantrum, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a mini tantrum. And they were talking about how many wrestlers from that era are dead now.
Right.
What do you think about that?
It deserves to be analyzed in more detail than like 13 minutes on Real Sports.
Right.
I mean, the shame of it is that when you hear it now, it's not that shocking. You know, like 5 years ago, it's like, someone died. I mean, you'd be heartbroken. And now it's like, yeah, you know, you're used to it. And that's a very hard thing to say. But it's like, man, you're kind of used to it. And you don't know why. I think part of it is that part of it's luck. You know, I mean, they probably have guys in there who've died from car accidents and heart attacks and things like that. There is a problem with pills in wrestling, and part of the reason is because guys are in a lot of pain. But I still said in my last book, I'm like, you can't tell me that we can send guys, you know, into outer space, that we have computers that can do anything, and they can't have some kind of national database that prevents guys from having pill doctors in different cities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think anyone ever set out and said, hey, I'm going to get hooked on, you know, Vicodin.
Right.
But the truth is, you know, they make this thing, it doesn't just take away the pain, but it makes you feel pretty damn good, you know.
Right.
And I think guys start taking pain medicine because they need it, and then they stay on it because they like it, and unfortunately, you have doctors out there willing to write prescriptions because they want to be able to say that they're buddies with the wrestlers. And there's much more to it. Roddy Piper refers to it as a sickness. And, you know, there's the idea that these guys are out there and they're almost like superheroes.
But in reality, they're just regular guys, you know. And then as much as they decry the wrestling business and talk about how hard it is, once they're out of the business, I mean, they're desperately trying to
get back in.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the point with this guy, that he got back into it.
Right.
And he said, I can't believe I'm getting back into it, but he had nothing else to do.
I mean, why? But he was an actor. He was a talented guy. I mean, I can't believe there's nothing else that Roddy Piper can do.
Well, how is your relationship with Vince? Because I saw, like I mentioned, the guy that was doing this, I think it was Armin Katane,
yeah,
was doing the interview.
Right.
And he was asking, you know, he's got a way of asking questions in that very condescending.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm better than you tone, whether it was a legitimate question or not. And Vince just comes like this to the paper. Smacks it out of his hand.
I'm not answering that.
Now,
Vince did the same thing with Costas, with Bob Costas, when he you know, had
XFL.
When he had kind of a meltdown. Is that, you know, when you hear about that once, it's one thing. When you hear about it twice, you go, is this?
Well, this is the,
you know,
my feeling on Vince. This is in print too, and not the book that I want you to get, because that's in paperback, and I don't make much jack off the paperback. So if you're going to pick up a Foley book, pick up Tietam Brown the novel.
Yes.
You notice, like, in the middle of the conversation, he just gracefully, you know, just gracefully.
But you know what? If someone, I understand not everybody's there because they're novel fans. So not only do I gear the talk basically to wrestling fans, but I sign, you know, at least one other item, which is usually a book or.
Nick, don't worry. You're going to have a giant crowd tonight, and you're going to sell every goddamn book you have there tonight.
This is what I said about Vince in Foley is Good. I said, you know, 7-8 years ago, I would have come on this show and I'd be like, Don, it's have a nice day. And that's what we did, you know.
Right.
And then we'd wonder why people didn't respect us. It's because we walked around almost like, you know, we were playing them for idiots, you know. We were really, you know, questioning their intelligence by or insulting their intelligence by coming on and being in character, expecting people to accept the character. So I said, it's ironic that the same guy, Vince McMahon, who by coming out and saying, look, this is sports entertainment, these guys are entertainers, they're great athletes, but they are putting on a show for you. By doing that, he allowed guys like me not only to write Have a Nice Day and Foley's Good, but to come on here and kind of hang out and play along and even poke fun at what we do. The ironic thing is that Vince can't do it. Like, when the red light goes on, he becomes an idiot. And he's like, you know what? I said, as a shareholder in the company, that bothers me because, you know, you see this guy, you want to invest money with that guy?
Right.
And the truth is, backstage, Vince is, he's a little out there, you know, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But he is a good guy that I've never seen him yell at anybody. He gets upset, you know,
right.
He has his moments. And I've yelled at him, like, you know, in rooms, and we've had some pretty big arguments, but I like him, and he's a good guy. And then he gets on the thing, and it's like, man. And I think Armin Katane knew which buttons to push.
Right.
Because what I'm told, and this is the problem with, like, soundbite journalism, is that he kept asking him the same question and kept asking him. And
right.
It's like, you know what you're dealing with Vince, and you know he's going to get upset.
You know, when you mentioned that about the way you guys used to have to play it, I think back to the interviews we've done on this show, and I think specifically to, I think, The Undertaker that we had on this show, who came in and was in character for the entire interview, and then somewhere along the line that changed, and you probably remember that too,
he dropped out of it.
And it started being a lot more fun because guys could come out and, you know, and hang out. But that's interesting that you mentioned that.
It's horrible. I'd go on, like, the local weather, you know, do the local weather. It'll be a chilly 52 degrees out there, mommy!
Now, are you getting any crap from any of your macho friends for having written Tietam Brown?
You know what? As soon as one of those macho friends becomes best known for having a front tooth stuck up their nose, they have some room to talk. This is not what I think. You know, wrestling fans, they've been very good about it, you know, and not all of them are going to run out and buy the book, you know, and I was gearing, you know, I'm thinking, you know, realistically, people who bought the other books will like this book. I don't think just because, you know, Joey likes, you know, likes The Undertaker, he's going to run out and buy, you know, buy the Mick Foley novel. And if Joey's under 15, by no means should he buy the Mick Foley novel. But I think wrestling fans will accept and even like the fact that I write books, because then they can go, oh, no, the wrestlers aren't going as far. This one guy wrote a novel. I think they can accept that I'll go on the Today Show
the jacket and tie. And could you tell I was
a Looney Tune tie.
Could you tell I was crushed that it was Lauer and not Couric?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I think I was more upset about that than the damn fire. You know? But
it's probably Lauer that want, you know, usually the way those guys, the way they pick the ones they want to do. That's,
well,
that's,
you know what? They had this, like, breakthrough in the JonBenet Ramsey case. It was supposed to be Katie, and then I got, you know, the tragic news that it was Matt.
Right.
But Matt was actually cool. I got this feeling that they were really talking to me as an author and not, you know, not as an oddity. But I think where the wrestling fans draw the line is the moment I show up with false teeth or a new ear, that's the moment they jump ship, you know. Yeah.
You got to be happy with the ink you're getting on this book. I mean, I mean, I've read a lot of very, very good stuff about the book.
Yeah, I just assumed that you guys being my buddy and everything, that this would be one of those positive places.
Positive review. I'm telling you, it just is kind of a girly book. I read it, though. What does it say about me?
And here, look, as long as you're here, what percentage of your listening audience is women?
About 40%.
40% women will like this book.
Said it yourself, and guys, and I like it too. And you're right; it's very violent.
Yes,
but at the same time, it has a lot of sentimental stuff. And I think you have an underlying message throughout the book.
There is underlying messages,
and I dug the ending. Yeah. I really dug the ending of the book. I mean, that's.
And I think as I was reading
an honest
about
compliment.
I was reading about the fact that you're a Civil War buff, and it's and around here, I've got so many personal friends of mine that are nuts over the Civil War. And I mean, you're not obviously, you've never done the reenacting. I know guys like this, but there are guys that really go crazy about that. And they said you're kind of into it. You would stop, you'd visit battlefields and things like that.
But I just think it's weird for some grown men to like dress up in costumes and play a role.
I know these guys, and most of them are not, you know, it's really not the dressing up, but it's also just this incredible knowledge of the history of it and the Civil War, and it's so strange.
And apparently, like, they like kind of draw straws to find out who gets shot. Because, like, the guys who reenact get killed right away. They have to lay down the whole time.
we got a break. Will you stay for one more quick break to answer your phone calls?
Damn right.
Okay, Tietam Brown is the book.
Macho badass stuff.
It's a good book. Listen, it's a goddamn compliment, Mick. Your other books were well written.
Thank you.
They were about wrestling. This book is equally well written. It just shows another side of you.
Yes, the faggy side.
You said it, not me. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Mick, hold on. Joe's doing the traffic now.
Slow traffic southbound 495, I-95, Inner Loop Capital Beltway is slow at Route US 1. This traffic report is brought to you by your local REMAX offices. When you are looking to buy or sell a home, look for the name that brings results. REMAX, there's a REMAX real estate office near you, so call them today. REMAX, outstanding agents, outstanding results. I'm Joel Hollander for the Don and Mike Show, WJFK.
Are you nervous reading in front of Mick?
No.
No.
Click.
Infinity Broadcaster, WJFK, FM, Athens, Washington, D.C.
Cletus, what are you beating your gums about?
The Don and Mike Show.
They wear a lot of hats while they sit on the fence making a commitment. Don and Mike.
We're back with Mick Foley. We're just telling, really not kissing his ass during the break, but seriously saying, I like the book, and the reason they treat you with reverence like on the Today Show is they know that you're not a dumb guy.
Yeah, it's been an uphill battle. It helps, you know. A guy like the Rock will be on these shows. He sounds pretty intelligent. Granted, we have guys like, you know, Al Snow and Test.
Al Snow?
No.
All right, now listen, before you take your calls, you have to get out of here, and we want to get as many calls as possible. What photo do you have for us?
And it's the first time I'm showing this. I've told a couple of people this story, but I never had the visual evidence. The deal is, my publisher within that world, and for people who know, and I wasn't one of them because I'd never even heard of Knopf, but they're very prestigious. They've had 21 Nobel Prize winners in their stable, okay?
Right, okay.
So that when I showed up, it was like, it was kind of a weird thing, you know, to have this wrestler guy in the Knopf Hall. So I got there. Of course, all the guys in the mailroom knew who I was. Mick. So they wanted to have their picture taken with me. I came back a couple months later. The guys say, you want to see that picture? So I go into the mailroom, and there's two photographs on the wall, okay? Exhibit one, two photographs. Look at exhibit one. It's clearly me, the mailroom guys.
Right, you and a couple of brothers. Right.
The second photograph to be revealed, we'll call it exhibit B.
Ha!
right next to each other.
It's Mick with the guys, and next to, and right next to it in the publishing place is Clinton. With the same guy. So it was like, what, I guess, the day after or the day before?
I just thought it was priceless.
That is pretty funny.
So here's the company you're traveling in now.
So you're on the same wall as Clinton.
Yeah, yeah. And it was cool. When I was over in the UK, we had the same publisher. You know, Senator Clinton was over there doing the same bookstore I did a couple days earlier. My publisher over in the UK is this very important, very beautiful woman. Like, I couldn't, you know, my wife isn't listening, so I can admit, I never took my eyes, I couldn't take my eyes off. It was just mesmerizing, you know, probably
right.
late 40s, you know. And she had just left the Clinton party. And apparently when President Clinton asked her where she had to go, the answer was to have dinner with Mick Foley. So they struck up a little conversation, Clinton, of course, being the big reader. And all of a sudden, the next day, I am signing a book to President Clinton.
Oh, wow. Hey, that's freaking hilarious. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not often you sign a book for President Clinton and Harry Potter in the same day. So it worked out pretty good.
Wow. I'll get in one more plug, and then we're going to do like 5 minutes of calls, and Mick has to get out of here. His book, Tiedem Brown, Reading and Signing, tonight, 7 o'clock, Olson's Books in Arlington on Wilson Boulevard. Go to mickfoley.com. Buy the book. It's really not that faggy. Hello, Walt. Walt, you're on the air with Mick Foley.
Yeah, Dynamite Radio guys.
Hey, go ahead.
Hey, I got 2 quick questions for Mick.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm a big, huge fan from a long time. I was wondering if there was any way of getting a hold of one of those T-shirts that you wore at the Japanese death matches with Terry Funk.
Which T-shirts? Well, the Wanted Dead Cactus Jack?
No, I choose. I got that one. The other one with the Japanese sun behind your head.
Oh, the one that the Japanese interpreted as being disrespectful to the emperor?
That one. Yeah, that one.
That also looked cool. Like, hey, I'm posing against the sun, and all of a sudden there's a backlash. No, and the kind of ironic thing about that is when I was over in Japan, no one wanted it because it didn't have American writing. Mm. And when I came over to the States, everyone wanted it because it had Japanese writing.
Right.
Oh, wow.
But those are extinct, along with the whole Cactus versus OJ special referee detective Mark Furman T-shirt.
Hello, Don and Mike. Charles, you're on with Mick Foley.
Mick, I've followed your career from the very beginning.
Thank you.
I was at your final match at WrestleMania 2000. You are the man.
Thank you.
I wanted to know, what's the big deal with you and Al, dude?
Oh, you know what, Al?
He's talking about Al Snow again?
My favorite subject when he's on the show. He'll talk about Al Snow.
I thought I was over this whole Al Snow thing.
No, I want to say, you brought him up like 30 seconds into your appearance today.
But did you guys see the thing at the Garden? Was that priceless or what? Al had no idea. It was kind of cool in that the guys who came out to honor me were not necessarily the biggest stars in the company, but they were like kind of like the guys who, you know, embodied the hardcore spirit. Guys like Tommy Dreamer and Spike Dudley and Al Snow and Bubba Ray, and then RVD's a, you know, real popular guy. And he was out there too. And so I had a chance to say, and this is, you know, we have like a little contest of what it is to see who can get the, you know, the better rank out. It's like a rank
right.
So 18,000 people in Madison Square Garden, millions watching around the world. I was able to say it is indeed an honor to be out here in front of so many great performers and Al Snow.
Al Snow.
It's just a matter of, you know, hurting and other people bringing me a lot of pleasure.
Here's a guy who says he's a friend of yours named Mike. He's in California. Mike.
Dr. Mike, I've known Mick on and off since 88. I've done actually a little dentistry on him, and I just wanted to say how proud normal people are of him, because Mick is one of the world's great treasures. He was also in the feature article, front page of USA Today. He's and not just intelligent, but he's ethical, role model, family. You know, he's all the things that really personify a great human being.
Dr. Mike, I appreciate that, but let's not kid ourselves. You are not considered normal even within the wrestling system. You are known as the wrestling dentist.
Let me say this, too, because I'm covering for the Examiner. One thing Mick has with this Michael Savage, and Don and Mike don't know this, we wrote an article in support of Don and Mike. It's in the Chronicle today under an open letter to Michael Savage. The only thing this guy has wrong with his teeth is one missing front tooth.
Now, Michael Savage has issues with his teeth. Thank you, doctor. Uh-huh. So would that be a doctor you got your pills from?
No. He's a legit. I never got pills. He's a legitimate dentist who likes to travel the world taking wrestling photographs.
Oh, really? That's
yeah.
what he's into.
So, you know, he is the wrestling dentist, so let's not say that he's a normal guy. He's got a very legitimate, prosperous practice, but takes time off to travel the world taking photographs.
The wrestling Hello. Dentist.
Brian, you're on the air with Mick. Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I have a question. How do you think about the new NWA Total Nonstop Action?
Man, you know what? I've heard a lot of good things about it, and I'm happy that guys have another chance to do their stuff. But I'll be honest, I haven't seen it. You know, I watch probably 2 hours of WWE programming a week, and that kind of fills my wrestling needs, you know.
But are you ever going to go back? I did watch when you were on, when you made your cameo. Yeah. I know you'll never go back and actually wrestle again.
Well, you know, I might. I don't know what I would have said had that phone call been about the main event in SummerSlam. Granted,
oh, the girl called to tell you that your house was burning down.
Yeah, not the house burning down. But you know what? I didn't think I was going to get physically involved when I returned to be the referee. And then I sat and thought about it. I said, okay, let me see. I got the crap beaten out of me 4 times. I had my own trophy smashed over my head, which in the worst wrestling scenario actually split the back of my head open, gave me stitches, but didn't look like it even hit me.
Now, how old are your kids now?
My kids are now 11 and 9. Now, 11 and 9, then I have 2 new ones.
That's
too.
An interesting thing. If you're in wrestling and you're going to get hurt, you want it to look like you got hurt.
Yeah.
Too,
is
right?
it your wife really seriously, I mean not seriously, but not literally, going to kill you if you go back?
Yeah, I know.
Didn't you, like, make her a promise that you wouldn't do that anymore?
Yes. Okay. That's not the only promise I've broken.
Kelly, you're on with Mick Foley.
Hi, Don and Mike. Hi, Mick.
Hello. How are you doing, Kelly?
I'm doing great. My son and I are huge wrestling fans. My son's been a fan of yours for as long as I can remember.
And how old is he?
My son is 25. He's probably listening right now.
Okay,
I wanted to know if you're going to make any personal appearances in New Jersey.
Yes, bookends, July 19th at 1 o'clock in Ridgewood, New Jersey.
Okay, really? How about South Jersey? Anything a little closer?
South Jersey, I'm going to Philadelphia, I think, on the 17th, Bethlehem, PA on the 18th.
You know what, give all that stuff to Lisa.
You know what, you check out mickfoley.com. It's got the tour schedule.
Oh, great, okay.
And it's got selected excerpts that show the true gamut of emotions from the unique father-son relationship to the sensitive boyfriend-girlfriend deal to the weird sex to the graphic violence.
Mick will be in Philly a week from today.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's a promotion
machine. Oh, great.
Machine.
Okay.
We'll,
all right.
And we'll plug it
cool.
for everybody listening on WYSP. One more call, and then Mick's got to go to his Sonny tonight. Adam, last person for Mick Foley.
Hey, man. Hey, Mick, how you doing?
How are you doing, Adam?
I'm actually going to be at the Philadelphia appearance next week. But
yeah,
I was
they
wondering,
booked me in a library. I'm like, you know,
in Philly?
I'm very supportive.
Hey, that's cool, but... I was wondering,
Adam just cut me off.
Yeah.
No, sorry about that, man.
Adam, okay. Just let Mick speak.
Sorry, yes. Kick my ass.
No.
Library.
I was going to say something stupid about how, even though I'm usually a big supporter of the library system,
mm-hmm.
this is not a book that you should take out of the library. But you kind of killed it for me there, pal.
All right, what do you want there, dum-dum?
All right. I was wondering what you thought about Terry Funk being the independent champ in Philly.
Is he the independent champ in Philly?
Yeah, he's working for Blue Meanie, your buddy of yours.
He is a buddy of mine. Ricky
yeah.
Springfield, he's a buddy of mine.
Yeah,
no
what do you think about Ted giving him another run?
You know what? That's great. I actually was hoping that the Funker was going to be at the hardcore ceremony in Madison Square Garden. I called him up about it. He said he'd be willing, and I don't know how that fell apart. But, you know, I don't want him to get hurt. He's an old SOB, but...
that is good news.
He's a tough one.
Adam, well, listen, I got a message for you.
You can walk
yeah.
your ass today.
Get out of here. What
right.
an awful final caller that is
yeah.
for the great Mick Foley. Tonight, Olson's Books, Arlington, next week in Philly. We'll plug all the stuff for the cities we broadcast
Man,
to.
That's excellent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's excellent.
Go read this book. Really, I read it on vacation, I swear to God, and I really did enjoy it.
And you came back in touch with your feminine side.
I admit it. You wrote it, I read it.
Mick,
always great to see you.
Thank you.
Mick Foley, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Mick. Always a pleasure to have you here.
We'll see you later.
All right, get on out of here. You got to go sign your books. See you next time you're here.
All right.
Love that guy.
Yeah, great guy.
Love that guy.
And really wrestling fans, you know, I didn't hear anybody closing the door on a return to the ring.
Mm-hmm. Listen, and who am I to say? God knows I've broken promises to my wife, but...
Not me.
He... Rob. Don't you remember what started us on Mick?
Yeah.
Like 5 years ago?
Right.
Was that documentary that I thought was real,
right?
You thought was fake,
right?
Where he eventually, because he was so beat up,
right,
had to promise his wife he wasn't going to do it anymore.
Well, and we've learned a lot more about wrestling since then. I mean, the fact of the matter, when they're talking about these guys and what they go through with painkillers, yeah, is it the, you know, is it entertainment? Yes. Is it real? No. The fact is these are guys that get very, very severely hurt all the time, and they're constantly in need of painkillers, surgery, and that type of stuff. And that's why one of the reasons he was, you know, deciding to give it up. I'm looking at a guy, I mean, don't you think he wants to get back into it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, big time. Yeah.
Yeah, I do. It's just, I remember that documentary with his kid.
Yeah. Well, that was because his kids were at that match, and he said he'd never do that again, you know.
I interpreted that he would never do it again. I think he's been on the show and has said he would never. Not that I don't want him to wrestle again.
No. Well, you know, I think really when you're doing all these cities and these book tours, eventually, you really want to kick somebody's ass.
It's a good faggy book. Tatum Brown. Hey, if I read it, you know it's got to be easy, right? And now here's Buzz.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
Barabota,
one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
There he is.
To me. He made it up.
He's marvelous. Buzz, what is your lead story on the news and comments today?
Today, the Hulk may have a small profit margin, but he has an enormous thing.
You are just a tease.
Yes, Stay tuned. News and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I just want to set this up. Jim Russ is a pussy. He's the guy filling in on traffic, and he wouldn't use the name of Joel Hollander, who's one of the infinity muckety mucks who stood micing me up today.
Right.
For a meeting, and we wanted him to use the name Joel Hollander, and he wouldn't because Jim Russ is a pussy. So now here's Joe, because Joe's not afraid to say he's Joel Hollander. Hi, Joe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. Hazardous driving conditions southbound. Ooh, 295 at the district line. Lane's open, but pavement is rough because of steel plates across both lanes. This traffic report is brought to you by Fruit 2-0. Fruit 2-0, the only zero-calorie, full-flavored spring water in life that is guaranteed more flavor than soda and not one calorie. Find Fruit 2-0 and their guarantee at Giant Food, Harris Teeter, or Safeway. I'm Joel Hollander for the Don and Mike Show, WJFK.
It's summertime and everyone's bouncing from one place to another, but if you switch to Singular Wireless, it's easy to keep in touch with the whole family, no matter where they are.
Right now, Singular offers a great buy one, get one free deal on the coolest phone available. Buy one Nokia 3560 color phone for just $29.99 and get a second one free. After $50 instant rebates and two-year service agreements, buy one, get one free wireless phones. What could be cooler than that?
Did we have any vodka in the office?
Check it.
Don, you concentrate on the spot, please.
Keep your family connected. My wife's out of town. I'm going to have a drink tonight.
Fuck you.
Keep your family connected. I'll be calling my wife tonight on Singular Wireless.
Okay.
For home delivery, call Singular at 1-866-SINGULAR. Log on to Singular.com or go to a Singular Wireless store. Remember, that's 1-866-SINGULAR.
Certain vodka restrictions apply. See any Singular vodka store for details.
Don and Mike, WJFK.
There.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
What kind of a place is this? We have no vodka in our office.
Hold it, Phyllis. That don't move me. Let's get real, real gone for a change. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. You know, buddy, I love you. I could open a vein.
We got a lot of Jamesons. We got two beers. We got a lot of little bottles of flavored stuff.
You've never enjoyed my beverage, have you?
The whiskey? No.
No, I haven't enjoyed it in a while.
Well, after a while, you don't enjoy it, but you still need it.
You know, I just want to have a drink, but I'm so lazy, I don't want to go to the liquor store tonight.
You know who you are now on the show today?
Who?
You're Dick Van Dyke.
We're in the middle of the show, and like when you'd have the writer's meeting, and right now what you're doing is you're drawing your little martini glasses.
Heard you've been drawing mine.
He did.
It's time for Buzz's news and comments. Hey, Joe, go buy me some vodka, please. Hey, what?
We need him for traffic.
Mike, would you do the traffic next time, Mike?
I was going to think, yeah, I thought you were going to say, Mike, go and get some vodka. I'd love to do the traffic.
See, Charlie.
But I will
it's
do
Charlie. It.
Charlie.
It's time for Buzz and News.
God, it sounds like I have a problem, don't I? I mean, I really need that.
Look, we know the problem. We know the problem partner on this show, okay? You don't ever have to worry about that.
Well, just, you know. My wife's not there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Cut loose, have it.
Yeah, even though one of the things is, you'll be alone?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know.
You sure you don't want to maybe have somebody come over?
That's on the list.
Yeah. It's time for Buzz. Buzz brought to you by Veramax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer. It's Dr. DeVello.
Someone call for a doctor?
Clinically tested Veramax works. Hey, Tim's probably loving this, though.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I'm talking about drinking.
Getting crazy.
Yeah, it's not about partying!
Woo!
I'm just going to have one drink, though.
Really?
Gigantic drink.
Doctor developed and clinically tested.
Vodka's a little old school. Can't you talk about hard lemonade?
There you go.
Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Veramax, 1-888 try
VMAX. And wash it down with vodka.
Let him try that card.
We'll never see him again.
Let him try that one. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
I really just gave Rob my credit card to have Joe get some booze for me.
I saw that.
Lazy? Pathetic?
Right.
Lonely.
You've worked hard today.
Hi.
Man, they'll do anything to sell movie tickets, won't they? In London, a little girl won the beanbag throw at a fair. Her prize was a plush Incredible Hulk doll. She noticed a bulge under his ripped purple shorts. No wonder they were ripped. Underneath, she found a 2-inch male organ. Not a manufacturing mistake. It's a penis. 2 inches and a doll that stands 12 inches high. Now, proportionately, on a man 6 feet tall, that would be a 12-incher. The girl's mother is offended. The British papers are having a field day.
Well, that's like the stories about if Barbie was a real girl, that Barbie's boobs would be like 85 inches.
I did the math on this myself, and that would be the case if this
doll... Thanks, Buzz. Thanks for working overtime on that.
I go the extra mile for you guys. That would be, a foot long if in fact, the doll was a six-foot-tall man. The girl's mother's offended. The British papers are going crazy over this. And a movie that's doing poorly in the States gets some much-needed publicity. The movie opens soon in Great Britain. No other well-hung dolls have been found in either country. The dolls were manufactured in Spain.
Wow. Spain, well, maybe Black Peter had something to do with it.
No, yeah, they all were in a bag.
This one was green. Could a drug deal be responsible for the plane crash death of John F. Kennedy Jr.?
Joe.
The National Enquirer is quoting a Kennedy family member who says wife Carolyn's attempt to get cocaine delayed their takeoff 4 years ago this month. Quoting the source, she arranged for a dealer to meet her either en route to Saks or at the store itself. Now, the source, who passed the tabloid's lie detector test...
They sell coke at Saks?
No. She was on her way to Saks, and she had a conversation, reportedly.
The coke is at Bergdorf Goodman.
Excuse me, I would like that Gucci bag. I would like that tie. Oh, and some coke.
No, she was just hoping to meet her dealer there or on the way there. Now, the source who passed the lie detector test says the dealer never turned up or just missed her. Later, the source says Carolyn feverishly tried to contact the dealer while she was getting a pedicure. The source says the two finally hooked up and that Carolyn snorted some coke on the way to the airport. All of this delayed the takeoff, reportedly forcing her inexperienced pilot husband to fly at night just using instruments.
Well, then there's a joke somewhere there about
somewhere.
That. But I don't remember which airline it is that had the pilot's flying drunk.
Just about all of them.
Well, I guess it answers the question, you know, that the cause wasn't that they weren't high enough.
Hey!
Thank you.
That's Mike O'Mara, everybody.
Comedy is my life.
Funny man.
Yes, he is.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you, Bert.
Were Secret Service agents hung over the day John F. Kennedy was assassinated? A new book suggests they were. According to the Kennedy curse, several agents were drinking well into the morning hours, even though they had to be on duty by 8 a.m. The agents also spent some time at a beatnik club where it's likely that pot and other drugs were available.
Here's a quote from one of those agents talking about that day.
My bad, bro. We got off on the wrong foot. Let's start over.
Yeah, if only they could. The author says this was just part of the Kennedy White House attitude, that drinking and partying were okay. He says the president's charm made the agents feel they should join the fun.
You know, I've seen the Zapruder film.
Yeah.
I don't think a hangover had anything to do. Would have prevented, you know, or
probably not. No, I doubt it.
And this is the tape of the party they were at. Yes.
Don Geronimo, the role of John Kennedy.
Bob Dylan may not have the greatest singing voice, but he's considered to be a legendary poet. But now it appears Dylan's...
He sucks. Well, I hate Bob Dylan.
I know you do, and I think you'll love this story just because you hate him.
I really do hate... I mean, you might as well just take a giant stick and shove it in my left ear and wait for it to come out my right ear. If I have to hear like a... What is that... Everybody wants to get stoned or high.
Rainy day women. Yeah, rainy day women.
Rainy day
another
women.
One. Sure.
Lay, lady, lay on the big brass bed. Take a bath. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. Wash your ass.
Did you wash your ass today?
Did you, Bob? I hate Bob Dylan.
Well, you'll love this. It appears that Dylan stole at least a dozen phrases from a Japanese history book for his Grammy-winning album, Love and Theft.
Oh, the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind.
We are very upset with you, Mr. Dylan.
No, actually, they're not. The accusations do not come from the author of that history book. The polite Japanese doctor who wrote the book says, and I quote, "Please say hello to Bob Dylan for me, because I am very flattered and very happy to hear this news."
Please call Bob Dylan and thank him.
The title Love and Theft, by the way, was apparently lifted from an American book that was published in 1995. That author isn't angry either. Quoting him, "We're flattered as hell." But now, students of Dylan are poring over his other works to see if they find anything else that's familiar.
Hey, Howard, there's your Chinaman.
Oh, thanks, Fred.
Bye, Don.
Dashing actor Robert Wagner says he deserves half of the money taken in by both Charlie's Angels movies. Wagner is suing Columbia Pictures for 50% of the net profits. He says he and his late wife, Natalie Wood, owned a half share in the original TV series. He says they struck that deal.
RJ.
They struck that deal with Aaron Spelling as part of their pay.
Aaron Spelling.
A TV movie they made with him in 1973.
Buzz, I got to stop you there.
Yes.
Let me see if I can get a hold of my kid. You know, he's down at orientation at Clemson with my wife. But my son, when he was coming back from Ocean City, cracked my ass up, and this has something to do with Robert Wagner. Oh, what's the only kind of wood that doesn't float?
Natalie Wood.
Yeah. Oh, one.
Are they on their way back?
No. They will be tomorrow.
Ah.
Tonight's the night that they're staying in the dorm together.
Oh, really?
Or, I mean, she's staying in a dorm.
She didn't stay in the dorm last night?
She stayed in a hotel. He stayed in a dorm on campus. Well, he's always got his cell phone with him. If he's not there, I'll tell you, but it'd be funnier if he does.
Hello.
Hey, Bud, you're on the air. How you doing?
Great. I'm fine.
How are things going at Clemson?
They're going well. Wait there. I'm over at Eddie's. Right there. Dad's calling on the air.
Are you at Eddie's?
Anyway.
Eddie's like,
hello.
Are you at Eddie's house?
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, listen, Buzz has got a story on... What a Rob.
Is it Ed Sullivan?
No.
Now you know. Hello, Bart, right after the Myrie Fire Eaters.
What is Eddie? Eddie is what, a counselor down at Clemson? What is he?
Communications professor.
He's a nice guy. Buzz had a story about Robert Wagner.
Yeah.
On the news, and I forgot to tell everybody what you told me when you were coming back from Ocean City. So tell us now.
Well, I was driving back with, I think, Nick, my little cousin, and we passed like a Days Inn, and randomly on the sign, you know how they have they can put stuff up there like a movie theater almost?
Right.
It just said Robert Wagner slept here.
At the Days Inn on Route 50, and I saw it myself.
Robert Wagner slept here.
Easton, Maryland.
Very cool.
The sign real big says Robert Wagner slept here.
I think that should be a tradition that is adopted by motels and hotels all over America.
No explanation, nothing else on the sign.
Yeah, you can't say anything else besides Robert Wagner slept here, because otherwise it won't be funny.
And boy, did he crack my ass up. He called me up and he said, Dad, I'm driving past a Days Inn right now, and the sign says Robert Wagner slept here.
There you go.
All right, be good.
All right.
Be good. Tell Eddie I said hey.
Okie doke.
All right, love you.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Ask Eddie.
So, RJ wants half the money.
Mean Eddie.
The two Charlie's Angels movies so far have taken in nearly $200 million.
Eddie the Dog.
Eddie Munster.
Eddie Arcaro.
Eddie Money. Eddie the Big Ragu. Eddie Murray. Eddie Murphy.
Eddie Mecca.
That's who I had, Eddie the Big Ragu.
Eddie Fisher. Eddie Arnold.
Eddie
Van Halen.
Oh, you might have me there. You might be King of the Eddies. Yeah, I give it to you.
King of the Eddies.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
King of the Eddies.
Very happy about that.
Oh, I just thought of one. Electric Avenue, Eddie Grant.
Eddie Grant.
And although it's too late.
Always in our heart, Eddie Gallagher.
Shut up.
God. Keep doing it. It's late in the show.
Critics say the new Charlie's Angels movie is pretty weak when it comes to a plot line. Co-star Cameron Diaz apparently agrees, quoting her, "Seriously, we're talking about Charlie's Angels. Who cares?" Diaz apparently prefers to talk about other things. Quoting again, "Doesn't Demi look unbelievably delicious? Lucy has wonderful boobs. They're so firm. I wish I had Drew's body. It's so even and firm and curvy," end quote.
Good for her.
Diaz goes on to say that she's happy with her own body.
God, I love Cameron Diaz.
And that both...
I love RJ Diaz.
Who doesn't?
Now, that's way too inside.
I know.
He's Mike's butler.
Yeah. Hello, Raymond.
And Diaz also says both men and women use their sexuality to get what they want. Final quote, "If I smile at that guy who gets my car, he does the job faster."
My wife and I went to see Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, how was it? What do you think? Weak plot?
It sucked.
Yeah.
And she asked me on the way out, she said, "Of all of them, which one would you do?"
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, even though she looks too chiseled now and too manufactured, mm-hmm. still I think Demi Moore is just stunning.
Absolutely."
And then she said, "Okay, of the Angels." And I'm going to shock you here. I do Lucy Liu first.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would do Drew Barrymore.
All right.
Then I would do Cameron Diaz. Because Cameron Diaz has a gigantic frog mouth.
You hate women with large mouths.
Joker smile.
You don't like Julia Roberts for the same reason. You don't like women with large mouths.
And I also found out when I read an interview.
Yeah.
I am not making this up. Cameron Diaz has webbed feet.
Really?
She does.
I'd lick the webbing.
Yuck.
Absolutely. I'd put my tongue down between her toes.
But I would do Lucy Liu before I do the other two.
Interesting. I'd do them all at the same time.
Oh, yeah. But I would do Demi Moore first, although I think really she needs to put a little weight back on it.
Yeah, a little too cut.
There's a scene where she's, I'm sure you've seen it, where they play Surfer Girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where she's running down the beach with a surfboard, and man, is she a beautiful, handsome woman.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, she's too sculptured, right? And I don't know if it's, my wife and I were discussing if it's Botox or if it's, you know, if she's just an exercise nut. It's just, she just needs to let herself go, just a vessel.
I feel the same way about Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
And what is she doing with that guy, Dude, Where's My Car?
I don't know.
Ashton
Kutcher.
Here's a tape of Cameron Diaz from Charlie's
Angels. Oh, good.
New and improved Joker product! With a new secret ingredient!
Smiling. Yeah, that's Joker.
That luscious tan. Those ruby lips and hair color. So natural. Only your
yeah, big mouth, big Joker smile.
I know what you're saying. Where can I get these fine new items?
He's listening to Cameron Diaz.
Okay. Chances are you bought them already. So remember, put on a happy face.
Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz, everyone.
Well, the Demi Moore, yes.
No,
is it time?
Go ahead.
Okay. The Demi Moore comeback train is picking up steam. She'll reportedly be Austin Powers' hot pants wearing girlfriend in the fourth movie.
Fantastic.
She, of course, as you mentioned, currently in the latest Charlie's Angels movie. Previous love interests for Austin Powers include Elizabeth Hurley, Beyonce Knowles, and Heather Graham.
Not too shabby.
Not bad
and if
at
you
all.
Bother to read the titles, she's one of the producers of all of the Austin Powers movies.
Oh, really?
She's one of the people, when Mike Myers was pitching that originally, she put up some of her dough.
Very good.
For the first one to get made.
Cool.
Yeah, she's okay. She's hot.
Yeah.
She really is hot.
Mm-hmm.
Not as hot as your girl, though, Mike.
No.
Kathy Bates.
Yeah, Kathy Bates in a hot tub.
Oh,
baby. She has web feet, too.
I got one thing to say to Kathy Bates, though. And this I mean seriously.
Did you wash your ass today?
I did.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Disabled vehicle. Northbound Kenilworth.
Kenilworth.
Accident. Northbound I-270. This traffic report is a service of McDonald's. Come into McDonald's and get a large soft drink and a genuine Coca-Cola cup when you purchase any large extra value meal. Limited time offer at participating McDonald's.
I'm dying. Who are you?
I'm Joel Hollander for the John and Mike Show on WJFK.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Even better than a titty bar. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, look what arrived for you.
Look at
hey,
that.
Just in time.
Think it's big enough?
I don't think it is.
God, what is it like? I'm used to the medium size. It's
a large.
Joe, how big is this bottle of booze you got me?
It's the second largest. The largest one is about 2 feet tall.
Now, listen to this. That's a lot of booze.
The goose is loose.
I could have gotten you a Magnum.
He's happy now.
Thanks. Thanks, Joe. one other thing. Do you have that credit card?
Oh, I put it back in the wallet already.
Oh, you did.
Right. And you didn't even know it.
No.
What is this credit card you speak of?
No. I just laughed.
You want more bonus flying miles, don't you?
I just laughed at... I don't know.
Joe got the vodka for you. Rob put the credit card back in your wallet.
That's what I was laughing at.
Yeah. I'll be starting your car for you this year.
That's what I'm laughing at. Where's the credit card, Rob? I already put it back in your wallet for you.
Everything's been completely taken care of.
Well, thank you, guys. Thank you. It's great being lazy. Yeah. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna Mike. At the ripe old age of 28, Angelina Jolie's been through a lot, and you're about to hear some of it. She's just done an interview with ABC's 2020. That show airs Friday. The network's already released a partial transcript. About Billy Bob Thornton, the two of them got tattoos of each other's names, wore pendants containing each other's blood, and bought adjacent cemetery plots. During their marriage, she adopted a baby boy from Cambodia. Quoting her, "I thought he was amazing. Now I just feel like I don't know him." She had the tattoo removed.
She talking about Billy Bob or
yes,
the baby?
No, the Billy Bob. Poor writing on my part.
Yeah, she was talking about the baby.
You noticed that too,
yeah.
Huh? Yeah, no, she's talking about Billy Bob. She says she feels she doesn't know him anymore. She's had the tat removed. She hasn't dated since, and she says she will never marry again. She says she has had sex with a woman in her past.
Yeah.
Quote, "I suddenly found myself having these feelings I always had for men, wanting to kiss her and wanting to touch her."
Yeah.
Jolie also says she's over her fascination with knives, blood, and death. She says that in high school, she and a lover cut themselves during sex. Quote, "It felt so primitive and honest." She says she took a home course on how to become a funeral director when she was 15. She hasn't spoken with Billy Bob since the breakup, explaining she wouldn't know what to say to him. She's also not spoken with her father, actor John Voight, who once made a public plea for help.
Jesus Christ, who got custody of the spaceship?
A daughter he believed to be mentally ill.
Wow. Here's the question, and I mean this seriously. Yeah. I know things say a lot of stuff kidding. I mean seriously. There are so many people in this world who want to have kids and can't get them. How come... Cuckoo Angelina Jolie. How come she gets one?
Well, she's over all that. That's in her past.
Yeah, but hold on. When she got it, though, I mean, when they sit down, when you sit down to adopt a kid, don't they normally go like, Okay, tell me about your past. Tell me about... Okay, well, when I was 15, I took a course to become a funeral director. And I cut myself, and I cut my lover when I had sex. And Miss Julie, what is that around your neck? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a vial of my husband Billy Bob's blood.
All right, please send the next wingnut in here, please.
And while all that was going on, her dad, John Voight, was saying publicly, please, somebody who knows my daughter, get her help for her mental problem. And Jolie was saying that that's what she thought was going to keep her from being able to adopt the baby. Was
get yourself into counseling, baby bird.
The comment of her father.
Make sure you stay away from that giant anaconda.
Anaconda.
Yeah, baby bird. She's a kook.
Who does he think he is anyway? He's Tommy Mottola, and he's back.
Here he is, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Tommy.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Tommy. How are you?
I'm pissed. Buzz, why am I pissed?
Well, I, you shouldn't be pissed. You should be extremely happy, Tommy.
I'm happy.
Well, you once dated Mariah Carey and made her...
That one-faced bitch.
That's the one. You made her career along with the careers of Celine Dion and J-Lo. Later, you left Mariah and stepped down as the head of Sony Music. But now, Tommy Mottola, you will run Casablanca Records, the label that handled 70s artists like Donna Summer, The Village People, and Kiss.
Here he is. He's happy about that.
Hi, everyone.
Who are you?
I'm Tommy Mottola. I have a message from Mariah Carey.
What's that, Tommy?
There's a reason in all your videos you're only shown on the right side of your face. That's because you're a one-faced bitch.
Well, who are you to say that?
I'm Tommy Mottola. I was thinking of Mariah and her breast implants.
Uh-huh.
When I was watching the news last week, and I saw at Six Flags that the Two-Face roller coaster had stopped,
yeah,
I said,
stuck.
Ain't that funny? Because if it was named after my ex-wife, it would be the One-Face roller coaster.
Not just the One-Face roller. Didn't you leave out a word there? The One-Face.
Bitch. This is Tommy Mottola.
Very good. Good seeing you again, Tommy.
And Tommy's just signed a $50 million contract. He's ready to go to work. He will probably be successful again.
$50 million? Who's he think he is?
I'm Tommy Mottola.
He also launched the careers of Destiny's Child, the Dixie Chicks, Pearl Jam, Ricky Martin, Shakira, Korn, and Train.
And one last thing for me, Tommy Mottola.
Yes, Tommy.
Please join Don and Rob in Sacramento, Saturday, July 19 at Club Aqua in Citrus Heights. And if you want to read a nice fag book, read Tim Brown by Mick Foley.
Very good, Tommy.
And Michael Savage. Nice teeth!
By the way, Mariah Carey's gynecologist says he has seen just about enough. He's talking, of course, about her diva-like behavior. The New York Post says that office tells them that whenever Mariah goes in for a checkup, she makes the doctor cancel all his other appointments in that part of the day. The paper says this irritates the other patients and quotes one patient as saying, the doctor has nearly had his fill of Mariah.
Someone called for a doctor?
In sports, Pittsburgh first baseman Randall Simon will be fined but will not face criminal charges for what he did in Milwaukee last night.
This is on Sports Center.
It's a great video. He swung his bat at a woman in a giant sausage suit. He says he was just trying to have fun, didn't mean to knock her over. Police fined him $432.
You know why I bet he did it?
Right.
And I thought of this like the fourth time I'd seen it on a Sports Center.
Right.
He's probably mad. They had to wear those ridiculous uniforms.
Yeah, the retro.
Yeah, the retro uniforms.
You know, the stretchy polyester.
The stupid
hats. Yellow uniforms and the ones with the stovepipe hats.
Horrible hats.
Yeah.
The striped ones.
The worst uniforms. I take it back.
Chicago White Sox.
As you say, the shorts. When the White Sox wore shorts.
Oh, the worst. They looked like little baby outfits.
And they had big Nipsey Russell collars.
Yeah. Absolutely insanity.
On their uniform tops.
I'll never forget that.
Those are the worst.
Yep.
Followed by the Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
And then I never liked the Houston Astros rainbow jersey.
Your Houston Astros had some. I used to play on a softball team. We had the same kind of jerseys.
But that's a big retro thing.
Yeah. Yep.
I see.
I hate those
what's
hats.
What's his name? Jay-Z or 50 Cent? One of them wearing them in his video now, the Houston Astros jersey.
Baseball is going through a whole big retro thing. That they're going to get older and older uniforms, and then they're going to play with human heads.
Finally,
Trunken.
They see the wackiest things.
How charmingly ghetto.
They see the wackiest things on gambling casino security cameras. They see everything on those cameras, and I mean everything. A Seattle newspaper got hold of one casino's best of tape. It includes close-ups of guys with their flies unzipped, a security guard with toilet paper stuck to his shoe, fat people dancing, and a guy scratching his crotch. It also shows a topless woman in the parking lot who's posing for her boyfriend's camera. The tape also shows gamblers smoking pot in their cars, a drunk guy vomiting, and people urinating outside the casino.
Joe.
Men and women. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
We'll get a copy of that tape, Buzz.
You got it.
So we got to go. Thank you to Mick Foley.
Good guy.
He's going to be at the...
Why plug it now? He's going to be there in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Olson's Books in D.C. Philly a week from today. Find out his tour info at mickfoley.com.
There you go. Yeah.
His new book is Tietam Brown. Thanks. We'll see you tomorrow with the all-new episode. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And you.
I hear it's a gay book.
Oh, friend. Thank you for replacing that in my wallet.
Oh, you're welcome.
Mead.
Your wonderful wallet.
Mead and bread.
BM.
Suck it.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.